much about.
You gotta put it in perspective. You're on the air right now. You're on.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
All right, here we go. Check it out. All right, good times.
I'm sorry, can you stop breathing so loud, honey? He's like, breathe quietly.
I don't know why people write letters to magazines, because it accomplishes nothing except to make me angry when I'm trying to read a magazine.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Well, I have a phoner in a couple of minutes. It's an interview on the telephone with a major media outlet. I'll probably do it on my iPhone. Enjoy.
You go, sister.
Hi, this is Kristen Bell, and you're listening to the Dave the King of Mexico show.
Watch your back, my little immigrant friend.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, no, not this again.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
All right, who brought the dog?
Roll another one.
What's with all the Mexicans?
Just like the other one.
Oh, come on, dude.
This one seems to be about to quit.
It's all good, man. We still gonna have that.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
I will believe that because it seems to be the truth.
Roll.
Pop music star Falco.
Just pass it around.
So suck on that.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
San Francisco. Hello.
I just pass it on down.
And now.
Well, the cool people haven't stormed the gates and taken us off the air.
Yeah, music for NAMBLA. Think about it.
Our feature presentation.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you.
Oh, Jed.
What's up, party people? It's finally Friday, and it's the 6th of May. I see them. What's going on? How you doing, Lisa May?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Bean?
Doing fine. Return of the monkey. Kevin will be back. For those who have been concerned this week, he's been on vacation. He'll be returning on Monday. Mm-hmm. Beer Mug, how you feeling?
Gonna go ahead and say it. I cannot wait until my face is laying in a pillow, hopefully by 11:30 this morning.
Can you use Lisa's boobs now?
Yes.
Instead of waiting till you get home for a pillow?
Absolutely.
So Cinco de Mayo kicked your ass.
Oh, not only did it kick my ass, I helped it kick my ass.
Oh, Muggs. This is what I love about Muggs is that he apparently, as I understand the story, and please correct me if I'm wrong, weeks ago they came to Beer Mug and said, hey, would you be available maybe to do something on Cinco de Mayo, some sort of a nighttime event on Cinco de Mayo? And you said, sure, yeah, let me know.
Yeah.
And you never heard another word about it until you're listening to the radio yesterday and you hear, join Beer Mug tonight. He's going to be taking a pub crawl.
I was like, oh, okay, I'm glad I'm prepared.
What? So you found out yesterday afternoon that you were doing this thing last night.
Yes.
And oh, my God.
And so I pretty much was at work all day. I was like, you know, I'm not going to go home. I'll just wait. And, yeah, then we went down to Venice at about 6:30 p.m., started the margaritas. About 20 listeners were there. We stayed there till about 7:30, proceeded to get on a huge party bus with a stripper pole and a big screen TV.
Dude.
And the madness ensued.
It sounds to me like if that news had hit you and that event had happened tonight, you would have been fine with it.
Yeah, it's Friday night.
Friday night,
yeah.
Right,
not
yeah.
a Thursday where I have to wake up at 4 a.m. to get to work by 5 and yeah. having all the listeners rubbing in my face going, I got work off tomorrow. Do you, beer mug? No.
How many pubs did you crawl through?
We crawled 3 pubs last night. We went to Hermosa. We visited Bald Brad and Hermosa.
Uh-huh.
Then we went down to Playa del Rey. And each one of the stops, I got way more wasted than the last one.
Oh, Mugs. You got to pace yourself, son. This is why you're 28 and look 40.
Yeah.
You've got to pace yourself.
By the way, somebody asked me my age yesterday, and I said, how old do you think I look? They're like, 42. Oh, thank you.
Well, I mean, it's nights like the pub crawl that put you in that position.
Yes.
You know that, right?
Yes.
Mugs is living hard, man. He's living fast. He's living hard.
Yeah.
No question. And here's the thing I don't get about our listeners. And it's been a while, but back when they used to let us leave the studio and do things, we've had occasion to put listeners on a bus and go places, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is about. You've got a long night and sometimes a long, you know, day and a long weekend ahead of you. Our listeners get trashed in the first 15 minutes on the bus.
Not even 5 minutes on the bus, being literally 5 people are on the stripper pole. There was no coercing these people needed. They were,
they're ready to party.
Just ready to rock. We had the coolest driver, Robin. Robin was like, he was the party, you know, enthusiast. He was our driver. He's like, whatever you guys need to vomit, here's a bag. Let's do this.
was there any reversal?
You know what? I'm very proud to say, very proud of all the listeners, the 20 listeners.
Wow.
Not one reversal. They
That's
all handled
impressive.
Their liquor.
That's impressive, because that never happens
no.
on our buses.
No.
On our buses, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they throw up within about a half hour.
Yeah.
But that's what I don't get. Like, when we take the buses to Las Vegas sometimes,
yes.
you know, we stop. I don't remember where it is that they stop at that giant liquor store facility, and people load up. And, you know, long before Baker, mm-hmm. you've got people who are not just drunk, but passed out. And I'm thinking, this isn't how you want to start a weekend, just passed out by 2 p.m., right,
yeah.
on Friday?
You wouldn't think so. Maybe that's how they start every weekend.
Well, that's very possible.
Yeah.
That's very possible. So, what time did you get home, Muggs?
I got shut-eye exactly by 1 a.m.
Ooh, that hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Were you still drunk when you woke up?
Oh, I believe I'm still drunk right now.
So, are you going to be... You're going to be strong today?
Yeah, hopefully by 9 a.m. If you see me just, you know, face down on the ground over here, please come wake
me
up.
We need to get you, like junk food right now.
Yeah, greasy. Let's bring
That's
on the grease.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Whatever you need, Bugs, let
Thank
us know.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Let's move along and talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show.
When I used to climb the rope in gym class, I wished it was a guy.
Okay. Well, one of the strangest medical stories you'll ever hear. I think it's happened less than 100 times before. A woman undergoes some dental surgery
mm-hmm.
and wakes up with a British accent.
Wow.
She is foreign accent syndrome. It's a real thing. She's an American. She talked like you and me. She lives in Oregon. She woke up with a British accent, and it's sticking. It looks
really?
Like that's going to be the way she talks for the rest of her life. So now she endures nothing but, hey, where are you from? And she says, right here in Oregon.
Oh, my God. She can't stop?
No.
It's
not something she tries
like
to do.
How is that possible?
That's hilarious.
I don't know. The brain is a mysterious place, and apparently some combination of what they were doing in the surgery and the anesthesia somehow flipped a switch or moved something, but I don't understand it either. It's so crazy, right?
That's amazing. She must have been British in a past life.
Yeah.
And don't you wish it would have happened to you? Wouldn't
yes.
that be so cool? Wouldn't it be so cool if you walked in today, Lisa, and you're like, hello, top of the morning.
You're like, that's the best accent you've ever done, because my accent sucks.
Right. So anyway, we will discuss. Also, Mark Cuban's going to be on the program today. Forget for a moment that he's about to eliminate the Los Angeles Lakers from the playoffs.
Yeah.
I know, shame on me for saying that, but you know, it's very difficult to come back from 0-2.
Yeah.
In a 7-game series. It can be done. And the Lakers certainly are champions. They could do it if anyone could, but it's not looking good for him right now. But Mark Cuban owns that team. He's also on Shark Tank, which is a fantastic TV show, and he'll be joining us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It was over then. A popular website turned into a book now. We'll talk to author Robert Elder on the program today. It's Friday. That means Ralph's got the movie beat. This one's for Alex, Chris Hemsworth.
Ooh.
He is Thor, don't you know? The movie opens today. We'll talk to him, find out how much his life has changed, being part of, you know, being an Avenger now. Everything's got to be different for him. We're also, today's the day I'm very much looking forward to talking to people who are listeners who have a super religious upbringing. We're doing that story talking about Katy Perry a few days ago about how crazy religious her family was to the point where she couldn't even have deviled eggs. Or if they made that food, they couldn't call it deviled eggs because you couldn't say the word devil in their house.
Come on.
Because then you're inviting the devil in.
Apparently so. Apparently so. Apparently you're just leaving the front door open for Satan. So we're going to talk to you if you had a similar upbringing on the program today. And as you might have heard, our big summer get-together known as the Weenie Roast. Tickets went on sale yesterday. That one's sold out already. Thanks again for that and helping us raise money for great local charities. Today, we've got your first chance to win tickets. If you weren't able to buy them yesterday, this is a second chance for you. You can win tickets. That's coming up, too. Plus, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat next, right after this, on the Kevin DeBeat Show. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ.
Is the show over yet?
Yeah.
Not yet. It's 5:50. Beer Mug's giving us, Ralph will be here in a second with the Showbiz Beat. Beer Mug's giving us some more details about last night. They didn't make it on the air. Were you not, did you not even have shoes on? What was it?
I didn't even bring shoes with me. I didn't have pants on. My feet, you should see the bottom of my feet right now. They're
literally... Well, I don't care to at all, but you didn't even have time to go home and get dressed before you went to the thing. You went straight from,
straight from work yesterday.
That's hilarious.
I don't know how Beer Mug is still standing, but that's true most Fridays. So
Yeah.
He goes for it during the week. All right, Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, dude? How are you?
I'm good. Can I get a little camera action over here, Muggs?
Oh, it's on.
Are
but,
you expecting camera action really, for Muggs?
You're really expecting tip-top shape from me right now?
I'm sorry. I want you to do your job.
Lower expectations, Ralph.
Here's the thing. I've been doing this a lot longer than you, Muggs. I've been a lot drunker than you, I'm guessing, too, in the history of my career. Always managed to do my job somehow. Always managed. That's what kept me out of the old double A's. You know what I'm saying? So right. Kept me out of the meetings. Was I said, oh, I can still get to work. I can still do my job. I can still function. I don't have to. I don't have to go to rehab. Yeah. No. Whatever that song said. So, just saying. You know, you want to stay out of the self help groups.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying.
You're going to be my new role model. Ralph.
There we go. I'll be your mentor. I'll be your sponsor when you need it, and you will eventually.
Yes.
If you've listened to any of Lisa May's commercials for the past 2 weeks, you know Mother's Day is this weekend.
That's right.
What? Yeah. Why didn't she say anything?
Yeah, she's mentioned it a few times. I don't know if you've been listening or not. And by the way, her mom's not going to be around forever, so she better get something good.
That's what I've been told. Straight.
That's all I remember. The best moms ever. Time Magazine released their list today. I've got some problems. As we do now, with every list that we always talk about
this,
here on the show.
Is this TV moms or just moms
this
in general?
This is all moms in general.
Okay.
Dumbo's mom. Remember the movie Dumbo, the Disney classic Dumbo about the elephant that could fly?
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
You never saw Dumbo?
I haven't seen any of those classic Disney
movies.
But
what about when you were a kid?
Not that you remember.
Yeah. That's right. I forgot you were touched as a child, so you blocked it out. But, yeah, Dumbo's mom, and she passes away. I mean, there was a lot of that in Disney back in the day. Bambi's mom dies, and Dumbo's mom dies. I don't know why they kept showing us movies about our moms dying.
I don't know, but I never understood that. I mean, the Lion King is
dies.
Tragic.
Death.
Like, I can't watch them. They're
death
too upsetting.
Death and die. Kids, I don't know. They're not prepared for that kind of stuff.
No.
Right. All the moms of the Joy Luck Club.
Hey!
Number 9 on the list. Gaia, who is known as Mother Earth. Made the list.
This is a bogus list.
You don't
list.
Just put the fictional, just the mythical moms on the list. Rusty Dennis. She was the mom in Mask. Remember Mask?
Oh, right. Yeah, that I do remember.
We had that honked up catcher's mask face.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, I don't care. He's still my son. I love him. My Cher impression.
Yeah, if that was your kid, you'd make him live in a shed in the backyard.
Hell yeah.
No one wants to see that.
Jochebed, mother of Moses. Listen to the Jew. Yeah, Moses made a basket and floated him downstream after the Pharaoh declared that all newborn Jewish males be killed, Bean. That's a good mom. She made a basket out of reeds and floated him downstream so he wouldn't be killed.
I got to give her credit for coming up
with
that.
And then he led us to the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
Florida Evans, the mother from Good Times. That show was on 40 years ago, and no one remembers it.
Wow, what a bizarre list.
Whistler's mother from the painting. Her sitting in the chair. Whistler's mother. I don't know why she's such a good mother. She just sat for a painting. What the hell?
Is there more to that backstory that we don't know about?
I don't think
so. Did she pull Whistler out of a house on fire or something?
There's not even an explanation on the list.
Oh, my God.
This says
is
Whistler's
crazy.
Mother, 4. Hester Prynne from The Scarlet Letter. Wasn't she the whore who had to wear the Scarlet Letter?
Yes.
Why was she such a good mom? Because she was a whore mom? Because her kids' friends could come over and bang her in the afternoons after school? I don't get it. Never read that book, but I take umbrage. Marge Simpson, second on the list.
She puts up with a lot.
She does. She's sweet, simple, unflappable, loves her family.
Yeah. You got Homer over here and all his nonsense, and then Bart over here with all his. It's a miracle that she keeps it together.
Kid. Lisa's right. The only good one. Maggie's some sort of developmentally disabled or something. She's been sucking on a pacifier for 25 years.
True. Yeah, she said one word and never spoke again, too. Yeah. So she's clearly got mental issues.
She's got some problems. And the number one best mom ever, according to Time magazine, the Queen Mother from Aliens. The alien mother, that giant creature that kills everybody.
Really?
That's the best mother, according to Time magazine. Best mom.
This guy was on some sort of mescaline or something when he wrote this article. This is absurd. This is crazy.
She's protecting her babies, trying to find them safe haven and nutritious food to make them grow into big, strong, healthy aliens.
Well, that's what a good mom does.
That's right. Like a good mom, she will take out anyone who's a threat. She's focused on guarding her young, and she doesn't even expect her kids to buy her flowers on Mother's Day.
How does the Good Times mom make the list when there's no Mrs. Cosby and there's no, you know,
Mrs.
Beaver's
Cunningham.
Mom?
Where's Mrs. C?
Mrs. Cunningham. Yeah. I mean, there's so many TV moms that are more, you know, much more iconic than her. I don't. That's a bizarre, crazy list.
I like it.
I don't care for it either.
Time magazine. That's why no one reads magazines anymore, Time, because of BS lists like this. And while we're talking about parents, Bryan Adams, Canadian songster Bryan Adams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the summer of 69.
Yeah, everything he does for you. I know Bryan Adams, sure.
Oh.
File. No, I'm trying to, for people who may not, I'm just trying to give them a song
stop
they might
it.
Know.
Stop backpedaling. Anyway, at the age of 51, he's a dad for the first time.
Wow.
His personal assistant, Alicia Grimaldi, gave birth to his daughter on April the 22nd.
I need a personal assistant like that.
I do too. She assists with everything, apparently, including his erections. They named her Mirabella Bunny Adams. Mirabella Bunny.
Okay.
Her middle name is Bunny.
It sure is.
Just like the Easter. Just like bugs.
Was she born on Easter or something? Is that why?
April 22nd, was that Easter? Anyone?
I don't know.
I'm Jewish.
I'm sorry, Mug. I don't know why I was looking for you with that answer. Mirabella Bunny is her name. More baby news. Our buddy Adrian Young from No Doubt. His wife Nina is expecting another baby next month.
Nice.
Apparently Adrian announced the news on the band's official website that Nina is carrying their first daughter, and everyone, including their 9-year-old son Mason, is over the moon with excitement. And congratulations to our buddy Jay Moore. He and his wife Nikki Cox welcomed a baby boy into their life yesterday. They adopted.
Wow.
A baby boy named Meredith Daniel Moore. Moore.
A boy?
That's a boy.
The boy's first name is Meredith? The
boy's first name is Meredith.
Okay. Huh. This is some sort of bizarro world showbiz beat today. Everything's upside down. I don't... What?
Meredith.
Is Meredith going to hang out with Moroccan?
Meredith Moore. And Man Cannon.
Yes, all three of them together. Okay. I thought Jay was off drugs. He doesn't do drugs anymore, right?
That's what I thought. Maybe he's trying to toughen the kid up. Maybe it's a boy
it's
named
like a boy
Sue
named
kind
Sue.
Of phenomenon where he's trying to make him a badass.
That is a terrible idea. Like, one of your worst.
Forcing him to fight every day of his life when people find out his name is Meredith.
That is... what's the middle name? Daniel? You think that's what they'll call him?
I don't know.
I hope.
Why don't they call him Daniel Meredith then if that's what they wanted?
Terrible name.
Even Burgess Meredith.
That's a last name, at least.
Yeah.
You know? And while we're in the world of names, in Benoit, South Africa, hometown of Charlize Theron.
Yes.
Charlize is quite the local hero there. New York Post reports that one in three families, since Charlize has been a star, names their little girl Charlize.
Wow.
One in three.
That's a lot of Charlizes running around.
Isn't that crazy? That's got to be one of the most popular names in town.
Not to mention, if you are Charlize Theron, your name used to be pretty unique. No,
right?
There's just a ton of little Charlizes running around.
Yeah.
I would have them all killed.
It's funny how many people, I mean, I guess it makes sense you take names from wherever you can get them, but how many people take them from movie and television? I mean, like the Twilight names are, you know, all over the top 10 in America right now. There's yeah. all sorts of, you know, those guys. And the teen mom names. I mean, that's where people go to for inspiration, I guess.
Teen mom names. That's a good source. they're good parents. Do whatever right. they do. Today's celebrity birthdays. Host Tom Bergeron of Dancing with the Stars is 56 years old today.
He's one of the best.
He is good at what
he's
does.
He's real good.
That's for sure. Chris Shiflett of Foo Fighters celebrates his 40th birthday today. Gabory Sidibe. You know her as Precious. She's 28 years old. Wonder Woman Adrian Palicki celebrates her 28th birthday. And actor George Clooney celebrates the big 5-0 today. George Clooney is 50 years old. We should all be George Clooney at 50.
No kidding.
That's what I wish you. I wish Mugs, you all how do you feel? Clooney-ness at 50.
How do you feel when you're 28 and George Clooney looks like that at 50? How does that make you feel?
That I don't have a lot of years for pulling in hot chicks left, I'll tell you that much.
No, those are pretty much
like
mine.
All the girl, all the hot chicks you're pulling in
yeah.
now? You mean?
Oh, you know how many I have, Ralph.
Oh, I know. You're always surrounded, Mugs. Usually by police, though. That's the only problem. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Black Keys bringing the sexy time on 106.7 KROQ. It is 6:07. Finally Friday. That bizarre medical story about the woman who went to the dentist and woke up with a British accent coming up in minutes. And Mark Cuban later this hour. Ralph, we have a long tradition on this program of the Kevin Abedin secret break. And I am no fan of it. And neither is Kevin. Because when somebody says, ooh, I need some time on the show, it never makes the host look good. So what the hell's going on,
well,
buddy?
Well, because sometimes the reason we do these things is to help. It's to help. It's to help maybe help yourself or Kevin recognize something that's going on that they're not really aware of, that they're doing themselves harm.
Would you say it's to educate, Ralph?
That's exactly the reason we do it, Lisa. We step but in. It's like an intervention. It's to
I don't
keep
need an
you,
intervention on you, the air,
you
though.
You do need an intervention.
People who need it never know they need it.
That's right. And they never want it the way they get it either. You
right.
know, oh, no, don't tell me this. Oh, I don't want to be surrounded by my friends and family and have them tell me how much I'm hurting them with my alcoholism. No, that's not the way they want it. But the truth is, the truth hurts sometimes, and
okay,
you have to be shocked. You have to be shocked into reality.
And is public shaming part of the process? You can't
yes.
come to me privately and say, "Here's what's going
no,
on."
No, because then you realize really the pain. Because we're all family here. The listeners are family too. They have to be included in on the intervention.
What did I do? Come
here's
on.
The thing: you are not cool. That's the first and foremost.
Well, I've never claimed to be cool.
Well, you don't act that way. Because apparently you think you are cool and you can say things that are cool, but you can't.
How
that's
are
you
going
to
come
know.
At me like that?
You need to know that you are not cool. In fact, you are the opposite of cool. When you say something that has been formerly cool, it suddenly becomes uncool. You suck the cool out of it. I dare say you kill cool.
Oh, come on. What are you talking about?
Bean kills cool like every day. Yeah. Bean kills cool in any way. Oh. It's a pity and a shame. Oh, yeah. He'll take anything and make it lame. Bean kills cool. Bean kills cool.
Wow.
He kills cool. He kills cool. He's an asshole.
Hey.
Bean kills cool. Bean kills cool. He kills cool.
Yeah.
Wow. It's serious if there's an Omar theme song.
It is serious.
And right, what's your evidence?
Here's why. Omar came to us just yesterday and said he's trying to bring Lop back. He's trying to bring back Lop.
Right.
One of his favorite words, which means someone is just, it's a cool way of calling someone, you know, lame or lazy or stupid.
Right.
And it's a cool word, and he loves it, and he wants to reintroduce it into the vernacular and have people use it on an everyday basis. And so we're all getting behind Omar, we're all supporting him, and then you used it. And then it became so uncool.
But wasn't that the whole point of the conversation was Omar remembers it fondly from his middle school days.
Right.
And it's fun and it makes everybody laugh.
Right.
So let's get on board.
Cool, it'd be a cool way to say that someone's a loser, someone's
right,
lame.
But isn't that the point? Is that we're supposed to start saying it
no,
now?
No, we're supposed to start saying it now. You're not supposed to start saying
What's
it.
What's wrong with me calling somebody a lot?
Because when you try to use cool words, you sound like someone's dad. In the rumpus room when you've got your friends over and you're like, hey, what are you jiggy kids doing here tonight, huh? You gonna put on some groovy tunes and maybe cool back with some za, get a big za, and, you know, hey, have a cold frosty one. You sound like the geek dad who's trying to be cool and everyone hates you.
I'm having bad flashbacks now because that's exactly what it sounded like when Chris Hansen was reading my emails back to me.
And you embarrass your kids. That's what we're saying. It's like, you're just dad, just be your nerdy, your just uncool self.
Did I not use LOP properly? Was that the problem
yesterday? Well, you used it yesterday. And okay. LOP, by the way, LOP, noun, meaning loser or lame, okay? Here's right, what Pete said yesterday.
Let's do one more because this is the LOP call that we take every time we do Psycho Body, and it's Andre on line 7.
No, it's not a LOP call. Now it's like an adjective, and you're forcing it in there. Oh, it's a LOP call. Hey, we got a LOP call, everybody.
Because the guy was a tool. The guy was calling to say, oh, I'm too buff. How can I lose weight? How can I lose muscle mass?
We remember all just that? Cringe. And Omar says, I don't know if I want it back now. I don't know if I want it back to be used by people. You just have such a history of taking cool phrases that people use that are cool, and you just kill the cool. You kill it.
Just because you didn't approve of me saying LOP that way yesterday.
No one does. No one does. It's like when you were trying to squeeze in holla all the time, when all the people used to say, hey, holla at me, or holla, and then you would do this.
Girl, holla!
Come on! You're just killing the cool.
How dare you?
Remember what you did to Holmes? Remember that?
What's up, Holmes?
Come on! You ruined it for the rest of us. None of us can go back and use that phrase once you've put your stank all over it.
I'm just trying to play with the other kids. Come on.
Stop killing the cool. How about when you tried to sound like the dog pound from the Arsenio Hall show and they'd go, ooh, 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 and you did this.
Ooh, ooh, Arsenio Hall.
That's not cool.
That wasn't cool. I agree with
you. Killing the cool.
I agree with you. I'm the reason Arsenio got canceled.
Stop trying to be cool and ruining it for all of us who can pull off the cool. Lisa May said LOP yesterday and it sounded fine.
And I'm not cool.
And she's not cool. But she managed to make it sound fine. You say it and it ruins everything.
Wow.
Remember that cool song, It's Getting Hot in Here by Nelly? Oh, great dance group.
Sure,
it was in every club, every place you went, people were dancing to it.
Big number one song, yeah.
No one can listen to it anymore because of this.
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
Come on! Stop killing the cool for us. Stop ruining it.
There's a lot of evidence here, I have to be honest. Really, you're starting to convince me.
Remember that popular beer commercial? What's up? Hey, what's up?
The Budweiser spots from the Super Bowl.
Huge, wildly popular. Everyone loves saying that to each other. It was very funny until you got a hold of it.
What's up? What's up?
What is that? What is that? Who would...
That was a live appearance, and the crowd seemed to be responding well. They were into it. I was just trying to be current. You know how
they were excited and into it, and then you said, what's that? And then they were not into it.
And they were like, is he having a stroke?
What is he saying? What's the matter?
How dare you?
Is he clearing his throat? Does he not know the microphone is on? Why? Why do you have to kill our cool?
Because I am cool, fresh, dope. That's why.
Oh, see what you've done? Just like that. You sound like someone's grandfather whittling on a front porch. You cannot pull it off ever. Don't ever try. Not just to save yourself the embarrassment, but to stop killing our cool. We can no longer use these phrases.
I understand. I get the point.
No one can tap anyone's ass anymore, Bean, because of this.
Girl, when are you going to let me tap that ass?
Come on! Stop killing the cool!
All right, noted. That just happened. Right there. Three doors down on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ. By the way, we got your Weenie Roast tickets. Thanks to you. It is sold out, but you can win them coming up next hour right here on K-Rock. It is 6:23. Thanks a lot for tuning in on a Friday. Mark Cuban joins us in a few minutes. We've also got the Movie Beat with Ralph Garman and Thor himself, Chris Hemsworth, on the program later on today here on the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, you heard me talking about it earlier today. Here's the news story. This shocking medical oddity of a woman in Newport, Oregon. Listen up.
Karen says her accent has its roots here, at her dentist's office. A year and a half ago, she underwent oral surgery and was given a sedative.
So I went to sleep, and when I woke up, I did not sound like myself.
Karen's oral surgeon didn't want to speak on camera to NBC News, but he did confirm when Karen woke up, she was speaking differently. Listen to Karen's voice on this home video before surgery.
You're filming my dirty mouth. Turn that off.
But when Karen came home from surgery, no one could believe their ears.
Say Saskatchewan, or say Schenectady, say.
So Karen has an extremely unusual neurologic condition that's called foreign accent syndrome.
It sounds like something that's made up. Like, how can there be a foreign... But I mean, it has happened. I mean, I guess they said... you know, about 60 times or something like that. It's been documented in the last 100 years. So, it, I mean, it does exist, but how does it work? How weird is that?
It's
the
bizarre.
Last thing in the world you expect to come out of a dentist's office speaking in a foreign language, basically, at least a foreign accent. It's just crazy. Well, we wanted to find out more about the story. Producer Alex was able to line up Miss Karen Butler, who joins us on the phone from Oregon now. Hey, Karen, welcome.
Good morning, Kevin and Ben. How are you?
Well, we're doing fine. How are you?
Oh, very good. Thanks so much.
This must be the strangest thing that ever happened, that people now come up to you all the time and ask where your accent's from.
Yes, it's hard for them to place where it is and where it's from, and they say it's very strange sounding to them, and it's strange sounding also for me coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, because you're not trying to do it. It just happens naturally. You can't stop it.
No, I wish I could go back to the way I was, and it would be much better for me, but I can't help it.
Right, I understand. So, are you now afraid to go to the dentist because you don't know what's going to happen next?
No, I mean, the dentist chair right now, I have a filling. I need a cavity
what?
Filled. Yeah, hold on one second. We're right in the middle.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Karen? We can call back if that's...
What's up, yo? How y'all doing?
What just happened?
They're just filling my filling, you know. You know how it goes. Don't be coming at me like that, what they doing.
This is unbelievable. This is just from doing a little bit of drilling in your mouth?
They fill in my tooth, yo.
Oh, my God. Wow. All
What's
of a sudden
up
you're...
with you?
I was trying to get some information.
Hold on. They got to finish drilling my tooth.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't... I feel like we're interrupting at a bad time here, but poor Karen.
Oh, that's so much better. It's all cleaned up, and then they put a filling in. They're going to put a filling, and then everything will be good, and it'll be
Karen.
All nice, and I'll be able to chew.
Right, you don't want to
like eating food and stuff.
Right, this is not the accent you want to stick with. You better ask for a little more drilling if you get my meaning.
I don't like drilling because it sometimes you know makes my like tooth hurt.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah,
and then I have to like you know not eat so much. On that side of my face.
No, I got you. I got you.
Is it time for drilling again already, Mr.
Yes, it is. Could you please? You don't want to be stuck with sounding like the King of Mexico. This is quite a dentist.
Hello. I am the queen.
You're the queen. Wow.
I'm the queen of England. I have blue blood. Yes.
So it's not just your accent. You actually have turned into the queen now
yes,
as a result.
Yes, I've become the queen.
Wow, your brain is awfully susceptible to that drill. Oh, here we go again. Wow.
I pity the fool don't take care of his teeth.
Come on. What's going on? Come on. Really?
I pity the fool. If you don't floss and brush every day, you got to go to the dentist. And that's not good. My prediction, pain.
Right. Look, she came out with a British accent, not as a celebrity impersonator. All right? Really? You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. By the way, speaking of Foo Fighters, if you love the Foo Fighters, this has been the best couple of months in history because they've done everything and been everywhere. That documentary was so great. If you missed it when it was in theaters that one night or didn't get a chance to catch it on VH1, it is coming out on DVD. And I remember when the director was in with Dave Grohl, when they were talking about the director, they talked about how they shot. Obviously, they shot the whole time they were filming the album, so they have just hours and hours and hours of stuff to choose from. And apparently, there's quite a bit of extra material on the DVD. And furthermore, if you need a Foo fix, go to YouTube and just type in Foo Fighters Garage, and you'll see these, you know, as part of the promotion for the album, they did this giveaway where you could have Foo Fighters come and play in your garage. And I think they did about 8 of them all over the continent.
How awesome is that?
It's amazing. And this is why all the guys, Chris and Taylor and Dave and everybody in that band are so cool. Because they would, you know, drive up to your house. You're living in a tiny town in Canada or something, and they drive up to their house with a van, and they unload it, and they, you know, set it up in your garage. And then they play a freaking concert for you and like 50 of your friends in your garage. And they're the biggest rock stars in the world, one of the biggest bands in the world, yet anybody can hang out with those guys.
Yeah,
because they're so unbelievably down to earth and unbelievably cool.
Yeah.
But do yourself a favor. You got to see some of this footage because the looks on the people's faces who live in these houses, I mean, even though they know they've won it and they can see that it's happening, they just can't believe that Foo Fighters is playing in their garage. And it's so cool. Anyway, I just love those guys. I'm so very happy for all of their success. All right, looks like we have Mark Cuban on the phone here. They're in the middle of getting it set up, putting him on the phone.
I did just see that video, by the way.
Which one?
The documentary.
Oh, isn't it so great?
Last week, and I learned so much. There was so much I had no idea. about, and everybody was so honest.
Yeah,
that
they
was
were
amazing.
And what's fascinating about the documentary is there's no narrator, there's no rock critic. Mm-mm. The only people who appear in the video are Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
People who are or were in the band, and you really do get an inside view of what it has been like to be in that band for all these years. And they're just so amazing. I just have nothing but respect for them and so talented too. All right. You're listening to The Kevin Bean Show on a Friday. We've been looking forward to talking to our next guest for a long, long time, and it is finally here. Mark Cuban is going to be on Shark Tank tonight on ABC at 8 o'clock. And there's so much to talk about with Mr. Cuban whenever we get the chance to. How are you, Mark? Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. I'm so happy to talk to you. I got so many questions for you, but we got to start with some basketball.
Fire away.
You've been owner of the Dallas Mavericks for what? This is your 10th or 11th season?
10 years, yeah.
10 years. And you got to be feeling pretty good right now. You got to be feeling like obviously you can't take it for granted, but you got to be feeling good going back home.
Yeah, I'm taking nothing for granted. You know, better to be up 2-0 than down 2-0, but we still got a lot of work to do.
You've had a few first round ejections, right? I mean, that's been as far as you've gone a number of seasons, right?
Well, no, we've actually had a good run. I mean, there's only three teams that have won the Western Conference since I've been in the league. It's us, San Antonio, and the Lakers. So, you know, we haven't done as well as the Lakers in terms of championships, but we haven't done too bad.
When you're owning the team, though, and you play and you get a good season going, you make it into the playoffs, and then you end up not going all the way, I can't even imagine how frustrating that must be for the entire organization, because you get that close to it, and that just must be the type of thing that's in the pit of your stomach all summer long.
Yeah, but you know what? The good thing is, you know there's always a new season, right? And you know, as guys age, things change, and, you know, new players come into the league, and you get draft picks, and you get to make changes, and you get to make trades. And so, you know, every season gives you a new hope. So, you know, we'll give it a run, but we're still firing this year, so we'll see what happens.
I got to tell you, there are a lot of people, I mean, people, you know, see your games when they come on, you know, even if they're not, in the Dallas area fans, but I think a lot of people have been introduced to J.J. Barea this week. I think a lot of people are now going, what the F's up with this guy? He's unbelievable.
J.J.'s a beast, you know. He's probably the best player on the Puerto Rican national team, and, you know, he's about 5'10", generously 5'10", but he's quick as lightning, and he's fearless, and that's JJ's greatest trait. And, you know, I take credit for JJ. He was undrafted, and, you know, I saw him when he played at Northeastern College, and we brought him in as a free agent, and the rest is history.
Right. I'm taking my life into my own hands by even having you on this week, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Because I'm consorting with the enemy a little bit here.
Yeah, but you know what, on the flip side, being in L.A. this past week, everybody's really nice to me because of the Dodgers. So, you know, there's two sides of that coin.
And you are, I'm certain, you are aware of the internet campaign to get you to save the Dodgers. People are pointing at the ownership that you've exhibited there in Dallas, and they're saying, oh, my God, this is exactly the kind of guy we need to run our baseball team. But you've been really cagey with people when they have asked you about it in the press this week. Is it just that you don't know, or you're working on stuff behind the scenes, or
no,
what, Mark?
They're not for sale yet. You know, there's nothing really to talk about. And so until they're officially for sale, you know, it's not one of those things where, hey, you know, money talks, just write me a check. It's really they're not for sale, so there's nothing really to talk about.
Why do you think, when you have expressed interest in other teams like the Cubs and the Rangers and I think the Pirates too, why do you think those didn't come through for you?
Well, you know, different circumstances. The Pirates weren't for sale, and that's really when I learned the lesson that if it's not for sale, it's not for sale.
Right.
It's kind of like the Dodgers situation. You know, the Cubs and the Rangers were both bidding situations, and that's not my strength. You know, if I'm coming in, I want it to be because there's a good reason for me to own the team. It's like buying anything else, you know. You know, if it's a good deal, you want to put. It's like Shark Tank, right? Like
right.
Tonight on the show, you know, like that segue. You know,
he's a pro, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you're gonna come in. Entrepreneurs are gonna come in, and they're gonna make a pitch, and we're gonna negotiate, right? And when you see me tonight, I can be a real jerk to the other sharks in a competitive situation, because I don't like to be in bidding situations. It just never works out well for me, and it's the same with. Same thing happened with the Cubs and the Rangers, and, you know, I won't let that happen with the Dodgers, and on Shark Tank, you know, I won't let it happen with the other sharks. That's just my approach to business.
I love Shark Tank, by the way. I didn't think I was going to like this show because I thought it was going to be cheesy with guys coming in with dumb inventions, but half the stuff they walk in there with to pitch you guys to get financing for, I go, that's a fantastic product. Why hasn't somebody already thought of that, and when can I buy one? It's amazing how many good ideas are out there from entrepreneurs.
The producers have gotten 25,000 ideas about, you know, give or take, for this season alone. I mean, you know, that's the cool part about the show. It's about the American dream. You know, everybody's got that one idea they think that's going to make them rich. And, you know, out of the 25,000 ideas that come in and products and businesses that come in, the producers have picked out some great ones. Tonight, there's a guy that I make an offer of more than $1 million to, and basically he came up with a better way to connect a fire hose to a hydrant. It's, you know, it's unique. It's brilliant, you know, and you think, why didn't somebody do this sooner? And all it does is save 30 seconds.
Wow.
But 30 seconds is the difference between life and death, you know, in a fire situation. And it's great, and obviously that leads to a bidding war, and you know, with between the sharks for it. And I'm not big on bidding, so I pull out some of my tricks tonight that the other sharks don't like so much, but I'm proud of.
You're not big on bidding, but at least you're in an elite company of people who, you know, do what you do and know business, and they understand that it's just business. They don't take it personally. You guys are just trying to get the best deal and compete for yourself, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, we are, but you know what? It's just business, but all good business is personal. You know, because on Shark Tank, when these guys walk in the door, it's the first time we've ever seen them. And, you know, it's not like we get some backstory and we know all about them. So we have to make judgments on who these people are and what they're about. And can we work with them? You know, if I'm going to write you a check for $1.25 million, you know, am I going to be able to work with you?
And am I going to trust you, or you're going to have the follow through that I need to make this product work and all of that, right?
Exactly. And so, you know, all good businesses are personal, and you know, you want to have a great relationship with customers, with the people you work with, because you want it to be fun to go to work, and you want it to be fun to do business with. And so, making those judgments, though, particularly you know, in the time frame that we have, with as much at stake as we have, and the cameras rolling, and you know, millions of people watching it, that makes it intense.
No, it's intense.
I think that's what makes the show great.
It is great. We're talking about Shark Tank, which airs tonight at 8 on ABC. But isn't your whole life people trying to get you to give them money for something, Mark? I mean, I would imagine people go, hey, I need financing for something. I know a rich guy. I'll call Mark.
Yeah, what a great problem to have, though, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course, there's a lot of upside to being the rich guy, too. But, yeah, I mean, doesn't that happen to you, especially a guy like you who's so accessible to the public? You give out your email address all the time and you say it goes directly to me. I mean, you must get nothing but pitched all the time for people who want money.
How do you
handle that? How do you even have the time to process how many requests are coming
in? What I do, I send them all to email. I mean, I've dealt with, you know, some of the heaviest hitters in the entertainment business, you know, out in L.A., and I'm like, okay, Harvey, send me an email.
Right. Know? But you really do read all those emails, Mark?
Yeah, I really do. And
I can't imagine.
Right off the bat, you know, if it's going to be legit or not. And if it's legit, I keep on reading, and if it's not, I hit the delete key.
Right. All right. In our final moments with Mark Cuban, again, Shark Tank tonight at 8 o'clock on ABC, let's just recap two things. First of all, your thoughts on the game tonight. You don't have Ron Artest to deal with. How's that going to make a difference?
I don't make predictions, but, you know, here's hoping the good guys win, right? I mean, it's a huge game, because if we go up 3-0, no one's ever come back from a 3-0 deficit. So it's big, and you know, but it's not going to be easy. The Lakers are a great team.
Okay, and last question for you then. If the Dodgers do become available for sale,
are you going to try like hell to get them? Yeah, you know, am I going to fight like it? I'll look at it. I'll take a look, and we'll see if it makes sense. I'll pull out my best Shark Tank approach, and we'll see if it makes sense.
You could own the Dodgers, Mark. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I know.
All right, buddy. Great to talk to you again. Thanks for coming on the Kevin Beach Show. We enjoyed it.
As always, I appreciate it, buddy.
See you, bye. You like the Weezer? We got the Weezer coming up on 106.7 KROQ. It is 6:55. Friday on the Kevin Amin Show, Ralph Garman joins us for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Oh, things aren't looking good for Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Apparently she's back in the hospital. Doctors are draining her lungs in an effort to save her life. She's, 90, 94, something like that?
Yeah, early 90s. Yeah. She's still going to have the baby, though, right?
Well, that's the other half of my story.
Oh.
She's in the hospital. She's had her leg amputated due to a gangrene infection. She's on death's door. And her a-hole of a husband, Prince Frederick von Anhalt, wants to have a surrogate child with his wife, Zsa Zsa Gabor. Now, yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, I know we talked about this before, but I mean, they're not medically, nobody's going to allow that to happen, right? People will step in and go, no, you can't do that.
Well, it doesn't hurt them at all, you know? I mean, she's not going to have to carry the baby if you get a surrogate.
What do they do? Just taking an egg out or something?
Yeah, exactly.
If she
has any left at 94.
Yeah, I mean, is there any can't be fertile at that age, right?
Unless she had them taken out years ago and stored, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Here's the weird part. Prince Frederick von Anhalt has asked David Hasselhoff's ex-wife, Pamela, to be the surrogate.
Why?
I have no idea. Here's what Pamela says. It's true. Pamela, by the way, 47 years old. Pamela Hasselhoff.
Good choice.
It's true. He did ask me about the possibility of being a surrogate mom for them. Zsa Zsa and Frederick have expressed how they would be honored to have my genes for their child. Now, I don't have to understand the concept of the surrogate, but you're supposed to take the egg of the mom and the sperm of the dad, and then you just implant them in the uterus of the surrogate.
Right.
I think Frederick thinks he's going to get to bone this hot 47-year-old if he says, hey, you want to be a surrogate mother to our child?
That wouldn't be a surrogate mother. That would just be him impregnating Pamela Hasselhoff.
Someone else, right.
Right. Zsa Zsa would have nothing to do with that.
Frederick and Zsa Zsa told me they regard me as one of the most beautiful women they know, alongside with Grace Kelly and Bo Derek.
Okay.
This is bizarre.
Yeah. All right. That's creepy.
So there's just they just get more and more honked up, this group.
I hope they both die. I hope Zsa Zsa goes and takes the
prince
with her.
I hope he goes first.
Yeah.
Last night, American Idol. America had to say goodbye to Jacob Lusk. Or actually,
No!
Actually, they had to say goodbye. That's how he sings.
It was time.
Was he the one with the really, really deep voice?
So no, that's Scotty.
No, but the black guy.
That's Scotty McCree.
He's got a high voice. He sings falsetto mostly.
It's like Luther Vandross on acid.
Right.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Someone who can't control his face. Yeah. He's Samwell. He's what in the butt Samwell. He's fat Samwell is what he is.
He had some skills, but no control whatsoever. Just all over the place. It was time.
Yeah.
Way overdue. So say goodbye to Jason.
Got a tough top four, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm not watching anymore. But there's still the two chicks, though. The cute chicks are still left, right?
Haley and Lauren are both still in the competition.
That Haley, I would do nasty things to that Haley.
She had the performance of the season last night, Ralph. You would have really enjoyed it.
She looks like a bad, bad girl.
Yeah, she looks like a lot of fun. I agree. Yeah.
You know who else is a bad, bad girl looks like a lot of fun? Katie Couric. No, I'm kidding. She doesn't so much. But that was the only way I can get into this story. TMZ says Katie is near a new deal to host a daily one-hour talk show.
Thank God. Talk show. Thank God.
She's leaving CBS as their anchor. $20 million, the deal's worth. Oh. Apparently she's in talks with ABC to host a one-hour syndicated talk show beginning September 2012. She'll also do special news reports for 2020 and do some fill-in anchoring if the need be. But this would be the third of the major networks she would have worked for if that's the case.
Oh, that's right.
Started off on the Today Show with NBC, went to CBS to host their evening news, and now will become a big deal over at ABC. So
I know the networks like to, you know, bone their competitors by stealing their high-profile talent. I just wonder if there are viewers who will follow Katie Couric to some other show.
Listen, there's going to be a big gaping hole in television talk show viewing when Oprah leaves the air this year.
People will be looking for a new program, maybe.
Yeah, if you're going to have a TV talk show, a daytime TV talk show, and you're a woman with any connection to the female audience whatsoever, this would be the time to make the move.
I heard yesterday that there's talk that ABC will now cancel General Hospital
to
make room for Katie Couric's show.
No!
Because, you know, the soaps are falling away pretty fast.
Not my GH.
They're taking away your stories, Ralph.
What happened to Luke and Laura?
I think they've been broken up for some time.
In Port Charles. Matt Lauer, it's been speculated, would join Katie in this move, and they would do a show together, like a Regis and Kelly kind of deal, but TMZ says that's not the case. He's not leaving, so. Sorry, people. Maybe Psycho Mike can join her, see what he's doing.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthday is Tom Bergeron. Speaking of Psycho Mike, he's the host of Dancing with the Stars. Tom Bergeron is not Psycho Mike. 56 years old today. George Clooney celebrates his 50th birthday. How did the Clooneymeister, how do you think he celebrates the 50th birthday?
Slaying chicks?
Yeah, that's got to be a big party, right?
Oh.
You think he's in Lake Como? You think he's in the Italian Villa?
I bet he is.
You think he's out here in Beverly Hills?
He's slaying some Italian broads right now.
Speaking of his Italian broad, real quick story. His girlfriend, Elizabeth Canales?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
She is getting naked for PETA.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's going to do the I'd rather go naked than wear fur campaign. So apparently she's going to get naked and pose for one of their posters. Only good thing PETA does, by the way. Only good thing is to get hot chicks to take their clothes off for that campaign.
Those photos are available and online, Ralph. I've perused them for you to make sure that they're safe for home viewing.
Chris Shiflett of Foo Fighters is 40. Gabory Sidibe is 28 years old today. And Adrian Palicki, Wonder Woman, she's 28 years old.
Tyra from Friday Night Lights.
Yeah. Wonder Woman. Yeah, yeah. Let's go with the Tyra over the most famous female superhero in the world.
5 years of recognition. On Friday Night Lights. People
5 years. The show
is
seen by five people.
But Lisa and I are two of them.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz.
Thanks to everybody who bought tickets yesterday when they went on sale at noon and sold out the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2011 June 4th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. We got tickets that you can win coming up later this hour on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 7:09. Welcome to the Friday Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the movie beat coming up here in just a couple minutes. Speaking of movies, the star of Thor, Chris Hemsworth, joins us next hour as well. Lisa, are you going to be able to control yourself? You're going to be well-behaved when we have him on the phone?
No.
Okay.
I make no guarantees.
We live in a world where S My Dad Says becomes not only comes from a website and then turns into a very popular book and then is a very popular television show. A lot of content being user generated on the internet. It's not just people in the ivory tower of Hollywood writing shows anymore. But It Was Over When is another one that is on the fast track to success. Very popular website. Now a best-selling book available at Amazon.com. And the author of both, Robert Elder, joins us on the Kevin Amin Show right now. Hi, Robert. Thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It just seems like the most brilliant idea in the world to get a successful website by having users contribute the content. And then all you have to do is edit it, clean it up, and put it on your website, and you get millions of page views. It's awesome.
Well, you know, it's not quite that easy, but it's a great way to sort of share ideas and stories and create a community.
Yeah, It Was Over When. I mean, people hear those words, they know exactly what it means. That heartbreaking moment where you think this was going to be a relationship that lasts, and you realize we're not compatible. We are not staying together, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I always tell my people my favorite story is I asked him what his favorite sexual fantasy was, and he said two redheads and a brunette.
What was the – I'm sure you've been asked this a million times, Robert, but what was the impetus for the website? What happened that made you think, hey, these things need to be collected?
Well, it was actually a reaction to my last book. I did a book a couple years ago called Last Words of the Executed, which is just as cheerful as it sounds. Mm. It's an oral history of the death penalty, basically. And I told my wife, you know what? No more sort of capital punishment and, you know, sort of a dark subject. It's only going to be about love and sex and frivolity from here out. And so I founded two websites. It was overwhen.com and it was lovewhen.com. And they went viral. And, I mean, it was amazing. Kevin Smith tweeted about it and crashed the sites. And then you guys had me on the show, this is partly your fault.
Kevin Smith is actually on the front of the book with a quote that says, it's addictive. And it's true because they're bite-sized nuggets of pain, and you can't stop reading. Let me read a couple of them from Robert's website. I'm not sure if these are in the book or not, but for instance, he sent me a text message that said, what are you doing later, Jen? I responded with, my name is not Jen. He called and told me he was sorry. He didn't feel like typing a new text message, so he forwarded an old one. That happened to somebody, Robert.
Yeah. Well, and I always love the one. It's I knew it was over when he cried during the end of Lord of the Rings.
Shansai writes in, we were cuddling and he said, I love Asian girls. I was just with this white girl. White girls have body hair and cellulite. Asian girls have prettier vaginas. Can we have sex?
Wow.
And she sees that and then wants to break up with a guy. Come on.
Some people can't take a compliment, really.
That's right. Thank you very much. Now, were you at all surprised? Probably not. You sound like a pretty savvy guy. You probably weren't that surprised when somebody contacted you about turning it into a book, right?
Yeah, I mean, I actually really thought it was just going to be just this fun, frivolous thing, and it literally took over my life very quickly. You know, when we were in beta testing, you know, I just sort of started, you know, gathering momentum. So, you know, I'm very happy with it, but no, I actually didn't expect it.
Wow. And the site is still up and running and healthy, and you're still hearing from a ton of people?
Oh, yeah. Again, itwasoverwhen.com is the URL. And yeah, we're even collecting stories for future books. In fact, the next book I want to do is It Was Over When Tales from the Bedroom.
Oh, well, you got a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of sexy stuff involved in the in this website. I mean, there's a lot of people, that's what broke down the relationship, is the sexual peculiarities in some cases, incompatibilities in other. But you're saying you're even going further than that.
Well, yeah, just because I think, I mean, it is the most popular section of the website. But we also have, you know, like manners and chemistry. And, you know, it's about, I think people end up knowing what they don't want in another person more than what they do want. Yeah, it's just one of those, it's the most popular subject. So I thought it deserves its own book.
Well, there's all sorts of categories on the website. It was overwhen.com. Chemistry, sex, quirks, clashes, manners, secrets, weird, and best of. And it really is such a fun read. Kevin Smith is right. It's totally addictive. And the book is available for Kindle as well, and for the hard copy in bookstores or on Amazon.com, right?
Yep.
Good times, man. You're doing the Lord's work out there. Keep it up. Thank you, Robert Elder.
Thank you again. It's all your fault.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Shake me down. Not a lot of people left around.
See him at the Weenie Roast June 4th. Give you a chance to win some tickets coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the world famous K-Rock. It is 7:23. Hey, it's Ralph Garman, and it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Thor! God of Thunder.
Yeah, talking to him in less than an hour, Ralph.
Oh, he's the best. So good in this movie. That is coming out this weekend, as well as three other major motion pictures. Let's talk about them first before we get to Thor, because I actually saw Thor this week. I know it's a bit of a change up for me to actually see the movies that I review. I like to throw you a curveball every once in a while so you don't get too complacent. The Beaver opens everywhere today in limited release. Yes, the legendary film starring Mel Gibson. His first project release since his meltdown. Jodie Foster directed her buddy Mel in this film about a troubled executive who finds a beaver hand puppet. And it becomes his sole means of communicating with his family and colleagues. He's so deeply troubled and depressed, he can only speak through the beaver hand puppet. Creates a brand new character, a persona, if you will, to express his feelings.
Aren't you tired of that plot device?
I know Mel Gibson's a dick, and I know what he has done, but you cannot deny that he is a talented actor, and I'm really actually looking forward to seeing this film.
I am so curious.
And I hear it's very good. And by the way, Jodie Foster, no slack as a director either.
No, and she's also a star of this film.
In the movie, yeah.
She plays his wife in this film as well. Interesting premise, great cast. Anton Yelchin also in the film. Great actor. Well, why are you doing that? He's Russian.
Oh, is he? I'm sorry. I thought he was like Chinese or something. Right?
Here's a scene to wash that out of your mouth. From the Beaver, Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson stars as Walter, giving his wife Meredith, played by Jodie Foster, a card which explains the way he's living his life now.
Read the card. Read the card.
The person who handed you this card is under the care of a prescription puppet designed to help create a psychological distance between himself and the negative aspects of his personality. Please treat him as you normally would, but address yourself to the puppet. Thank you.
There you go.
Is this some kind of a joke?
No, hardly, love. Nothing funny about it.
Stop it with the puppet. Right? I'm confused, Walter, and I need some answers right now.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's so weird.
dark comedy, and I think it's fascinating. I can't wait.
And Mel looks terrible in the movie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he looks rough
in general.
Beat up and just, yeah, tough.
So that's in limited release this weekend. Also opening up this weekend, Jumping the Broom. About two African-American families getting together for a big wedding. Sabrina is from the upside of town. Jason is from the downtown side of town. And when these two families get together, it's hilarity and chaos. How is Tyler Perry not involved with this film? I have no idea.
Ralph, forgive me if putting you on the spot here, but jumping the broom refers to what?
Now, that is part of a marriage ceremony where the bride and groom jump a broom. They lay down a broom and they jump over it together. And that is the beginning of their new life. It's like crossing a threshold into life together.
And then they go out in the parking lot and they ride the whip and then they get on with their lives.
Yes.
They do all of those things.
Here's a scene where one of the mothers of the bride and groom, Loretta Devine, is annoyed by a text message she receives.
What's the problem, Pam?
I have tried to be nice to this girl, but you know by now she should have come over here to Brooklyn to meet me. You will not believe it. She sent me a text message. A text message talking about she wanted me to bring some baby pictures of Jason so she can put them in the wedding program. She treated me like I'm her secretary, not the mother-in-law-to-be. Oh, she got Jason's nose all open, talking about she's going to take him to China. China! My Jason don't like nothing sweet and sour. This girl needs to have a little more respect for me.
Hallelujah!
Okay, well, not for me, but I'm sure it'll find an audience.
Something else that's not for you, something borrowed.
No kidding.
This is for the ladies. Jennifer Goodwin, Kate Hudson, stars two best friends who are both in love with the same man, Colin Egglesfield. Dex is his character in the film, but they also have a best friend played by John Krasinski from The Office.
Love him.
He is a likable guy. I wish he's done a lot of these romantic comedies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It seems to be his niche. I wish he would reach out a little bit and do something different.
I love that Lisa was trying to have a little self-control and not be that chick who was going to go see this movie. But then once she got to John Krasinski, she said, oh, I'm in. I got to go.
I really like Jennifer Goodwin.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like John Krasinski.
Here's Krasinski telling Rachel, played by Jennifer Goodwin, that she needs to tell everyone how she really feels about Kate Hudson's man, Colin Egglesfield. By the way, Kate and Egglesfield are engaged at this point, and Jennifer Goodwin is sleeping with them. So you can imagine how that would make things touchy for two girlfriends.
Okay, look, I get it. You're in a tough spot because you love him. But you gotta do something about it, Rachel. Because he's being a total coward, and if he breaks your heart, I'm gonna take a swing at him. And then I'm probably going to let him beat me up.
I got to go to work. I'm late.
I know, Rachel. That's the point. Be late. Better yet, quit. At least it would be a decision. Rachel, you're all going to hell anyway, so you might as well do something for yourself. For once. Rachel, you deserve to be happy.
Then butt out. That would make me happy. I'll figure it out on my own.
Have a good time, Lisa.
Will she?
I bet she will.
I bet she will learn a lot about love and life by the end of this film, and I bet friendship and trust and love and life and men and tampons and
all I know
Mazingil,
is
stuff I love.
Mazingil and cookies and puppies and chocolate.
If they showed you the first half of the script, Ralph, you could sit down and write the second half.
Oh, I can write you the script from the trailer. I can write you the script. Something borrowed. And lastly, Thor! The movie comes out this week in the big first kickoff of the summer of comic book movies. Chris Hemsworth stars as the God of Thunder, son of Odin, played by Anthony Hopkins. He is banished from Asgard because of his ego, because of his pride. He has to learn some humility, so his dad, Odin, sends him to Earth. And there, he learns to be worthy of Mjolnir, the hammer of Thor. Is any of this making sense to you people? Well, it isn't. Go see Thor, and it all will. Great cast. Anthony Hopkins, Natalie Portman, Chris Hemsworth, Kat Dennings. Just an amazing cast, a strong, strong script, and brilliantly directed by Kenneth Branagh, who is best known for his Shakespearean work. And this sort of falls into his wheelhouse because the Asgard portions of the film are very Shakespearean and epic. You've got basically Viking gods in space is what it comes down to. Here's a scene where Chris Hemsworth as Thor is being banished by his heartbroken father, Odin, played by Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, Odin's son. You have betrayed the express command of your king. Through your arrogance and stupidity, you have opened these peaceful realms and innocent lives to the horror and desolation of war. You are unworthy of these realms, unworthy of your title. I now take from you your power. I own it, old father. Cast you
out. Sounds like Shakespeare, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it certainly does.
Yeah.
Isn't he supposed to say, and some fava beans?
No, stop it. This film was shot in 2D, then converted into 3D for the 3D release.
All the best ones are.
It's available in both versions. Well, no, a lot of people have a bias against that, usually because it doesn't turn out well. This film, however, looks great in 3D.
Really?
I saw it in 3D, and the process is seamless. And the stuff in Asgard, this other realm where the Thor and the other gods live, the 3D really adds to those scenes. So I'm suggesting if you can,
check it out in 3D because it really does add a significant amount, I think, to those scenes in the film. It's available also on IMAX. I suggest seeing it on the biggest screen you can with the best sound and special effects because it really is a brilliantly portrayed comic book movie in terms of special effects. But the script and acting and direction are also really top-notch. It's really one of the best comic book movies I've seen in a long, long time.
Well, it's got a first-class team there with Kenneth Branagh and Anthony Hopkins, yeah, people like that.
Yeah, it is.
Not just slouches.
It is the precursor to the Avengers movie. This sort of sets up Thor's appearance in The Avenger, but it also stands alone as a really top-notch comic book movie. So I highly recommend Thor this weekend. That's my pick. I'm Ralph.
How about Thor, by the way? How about Chris Hemsworth joining us in about 30 minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show? I hope you're going to do that with him on the phone.
Absolutely.
And Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up. First, though, who wants to win some Weenie Roast tickets? Hit it, Steve.
Ooh, ooh.
Well, you want to go to the sold-out Weenie Roast.
The sold-out Weenie Roast.
All you got to do is guess the famous first now. See, because you're going to be the first one to win tickets. We're clever.
Wow. Wow. Really?
Did he just give up? Has he just given up?
Gino Marcon.
Roast and first are the rhymes. And then sort of a weird Elvis after a stroke kind of impression.
This is what happens when you ask Omar to work after some Cinco de Mayo partying. This is, that's the research. Come on.
DJ Omar Khan.
Famous firsts. Famous firsts.
Despite the fact that the theme song was bad, he is right that this is the first pair of Weenie Roast tickets. And, Ralph, you've constructed a game of famous firsts.
Famous
and I guess
firsts.
That's all that needs to be said
famous
about it.
Famous firsts.
William is our first contestant. He is on line one. William, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready to be the guy to try to win the very first pair of Weenie Roast tickets?
Dude, I'm stoked.
All right, William. All of the questions have to do with famous firsts, okay?
Famous firsts. All right.
All right. This song by the band called The Buggles was the very first video played on MTV in 1981.
This was, of course, before you were born, William, but it's famous piece of music and television trivia.
It's famous for being the first video ever to be played on the new MTV channel back when it was new.
First video to be played on MTV.
First video. Buggles.
William is not going to come up with this.
Anything there, William?
Oh, I'm sorry,
buddy.
You didn't know this. It was an appropriate song, right?
Video Killed the Radio Star was the name of that song. Sorry, buddy. Better luck next time. We'll be giving away more tickets.
Thanks for playing.
William sounded so excited. I just dashed his hopes. I feel bad now.
But, I mean, it's ancient history for a guy like William. You know, it happened before he was even born.
But it's history, you know?
Yeah.
You're a music fan. You probably know that.
Bob, line two. Thank you for calling the Kevin Amin Show. Bob, good luck. Ready to play?
I'm ready. Rock on.
Here we go.
All right, Bob. This comedian, known for his famous seven words you can't say on TV routine, was the very first host of Saturday Night Live.
George Carlin.
George Carlin's correct, sir.
Right.
We're putting your name into the drawing, and we're going to draw a name at the end of the game and see who wins.
Lisa's going to make one person happy and the rest miserable when she does a drawing in about 3 minutes.
And I love it.
Just like she does at a sex party.
Hey, let's go to Dennis. You can just take him in order, beer mugs. Dennis, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Ready to play?
Yes.
Dennis, Steamboat Willie was the very first cartoon starring this famous talking rodent.
Mickey Mouse?
Yes, well done, sir.
Yes.
You're in the drawing.
Matt. Hi, thanks for calling.
Thanks, man, what's up?
What's up, Matt? Here's your question. This winning team of the last Super Bowl was also the winner of the first Super Bowl.
Green Bay?
Green Bay Packers is correct,
sir.
There you
go. Well done. Listeners are on a roll. You are also in the drawing. Steve, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. Listen up. Here's your question.
Steve, despite Celine Dion, this was the first film to earn over $1 billion worldwide.
Celine Dion, what was that? Where she's protected by the guard, right? The bodyguard?
No, sir.
She wasn't in the movie. She sang the theme song to the movie.
Famously.
Big song, number one record for weeks.
For the big movie that made over one, first movie to make $1 billion worldwide.
Big movie.
$1 billion.
Yeah.
Huge movie.
Celine Dion sang.
This movie did not sink when it came out.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
Come on.
Oh,
sorry. Titanic. Titanic was the film, Steve. Sorry about that. Celine Dion famously.
Beer Mug, sing a little of that My Heart Will Go On so he knows what song we're trying to get him to think of.
Near, far, wherever you are.
Thank you. Back to life.
That's the song. All right, let's go to Alternate Universe, Steve, on line six. Steve, listen up. You're playing for the first pair of Weenie Rose tickets with Famous First. You ready to play?
Let's do this, nephews. I'm the original Steve on K-Rock. Let's go.
All right.
He's the OG Steve, yo.
This is the first planet from the sun, also the name of the only liquid metal.
Mercury.
Mercury's correct, sir.
Not the best planet, though, I'll tell you that. Let's do one more.
By far the best planet.
If we're considering planets.
Right. Yeah, and God screwed up on the first through the eighth and made the ninth planet perfect, I'd just like to point out. All right, one more. Let's try Matt. Get him in the drawing. Matt's on line seven. Matt, you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Matt, in 1962, Sean Connery starred as Agent 007 in this, the very first James Bond movie.
Dr. No.
Dr. No's correct,
wow.
Sir!
Very impressive. All right, you got your Bob, Dennis, Matt, Steve, and other Matt. By the way, no chick contestants. What happened there? What's the deal with that?
They're not interested in seeing Nene Leakes, I guess, on stage.
It's Leaky Lee, first of all. Right, Lisa May, who's going to see Linkin Park, Rise Against, Strokes, Bad Religion, Cage the Elephant, Data, Remember, Face, Fit, Neon, Tate, Everyone's Size of it, Leaky Lee, who's going to see all those people?
OG Steve.
OG Steve!
Yeah!
OG Steve!
That's right, baby!
You're going to the show. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
And thanks for playing Famous First.
Well, now you have tickets to the sold-out Weenie Roast.
The sold-out Weenie Roast.
And all you had to do was guess the Famous First. Nah, see, because you were the first one to win tickets. We're clever.
This is the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ, 756. Hey, looking ahead toward next week's Kevin and Bean Show, check this out, Ralph. Paul Bettany is going to be here.
Ah, priest.
Kristen Wiig.
Mm-hmm. Oh, bridesmaids.
Governor Jesse Ventura on the show next week.
Lunatic World.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt on the program next week. And how about this? Jesse James stops by to talk about his new book, American Outlaw. So big week straight ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Polish up my swastika.
First time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph. Maybe you guys can...
Oh, yeah, it's my fault. Yeah, I'm the one walking around in the SS uniform.
You guys can get together and trade Nazi memorabilia if that's how you roll, man.
It's my fault. My bad. Groan at me. I'm the one. Not the one with the little tiny mustache raising my hand in the air in Munich. You know what I'm saying? Anyone? Hello? Something on? All right, let's talk about television news, shall we? This disturbs me to no end. This is deeply, deeply disturbing. Apparently, there is some problems regarding renewing House for another season. Listen, I have very few things in life I get to enjoy. The TV program House is one of them. Mm-hmm. Do not take it away from me. Here's the problem. It's still wildly popular. The ratings are great. It is the most popular syndicated show around the world, by the way. Brings $1 billion a year in syndication.
No kidding.
However, Fox, the man... is trying to cut the show's budget by
20%. It's one of those 20% things.
Yeah. It costs about $5 million to produce each episode, according to Deadline.com.
This
is cast salary and other expenses. I mean, Hugh Laurie reportedly pulls in about $400,000 an episode just by himself. But, and you know, it is, production-wise, it's beautifully shot. And it's the money's right up there on the screen. But... this is the show's. This would be the show's eighth season, and apparently Lisa Edelstein, who plays Cuddy on the show, brilliant. Robert Sean Lennon, Wilson on the show, Omar Epps, they're all renegotiating their deals, so they're in talks to get a little bump in their salary.
Right.
So apparently Fox is asking the producers to cut the show by 20% in terms of its budget. And
we've seen this before with shows like, I mean, Frasier was another one that was immensely popular but just got mathematically too expensive for them to keep making.
Well,
so
here's what we have to do. We have to start slashing like the Medicare budget or Social Security or something and then funnel that money into the House budget.
Take the money out of actual old sick people and give it to the TV old sick people?
Yes, because look, they're going to go anyway. Right? We won't get another season out of them, more than likely. Let's renew the things we know we'll get another season out of, is what I'm saying.
Ralph, anyone who's likely to die within a year, just cut off the funding to them and give the money to Hugh Laurie.
Give it to House. Give it to House, yes.
Ralph, where does all the syndication money go?
Where does... that can't go toward the cast? I mean, you said it's syndicated.
Well, they get paid for their syndication, and the producers do and everything, and Fox does. I'm sure they get their cut. But, you know, that money goes back to the people who created the shows. But doesn't go. Doesn't get. It's not like a recycling program where you take that money and then make new shows with it.
Yeah.
So,
well, that would be bad news if the house went away.
Deadline.com also says ABC's Brothers and Sisters is on the bubble.
No!
Yeah.
It's not even on the air.
Apparently. Yes, it is.
It's not even a real show.
You can only find it on the Lisa May Network. they are talking about perhaps renewing it for another season, but if it does, it probably will get renewed for a shorter season and have less Calista Flockhart in it.
She's very expensive, I guess.
She's very expensive, yeah.
Oh.
The season finale is Sunday, and ABC is looking for a less expensive way to do the final season of the show, which co-stars Sally Fields and Beau Bridges?
Yeah, he's been in this.
Rachel Griffiths?
Yes.
This can't be true. I would have heard about this show if these people were in a television program.
The only thing I know about this show is what Lisa May has told me.
Yeah.
There's no independent confirmation whatsoever that this program ever existed.
It's
except
like Bigfoot.
You heard from Lisa. Yeah.
It's like what's the Scotland one?
Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah. People have talked about having seen it, yet I've never seen any actual proof that it exists.
I guess I'll tell you what, lucky.
They don't promo it, I'll tell you that.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Adrian Palicki. She's 28 years old today. She, of course, is the new Wonder Woman.
And more importantly, she was Tyra on Friday Night Lights for 5 years.
Gabri Sidibe.
Oh.
Precious.
I like to mix it up in the bedroom.
28 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
I wouldn't want to picture that, by the way, being in Precious.
In Precious?
Yeah.
No. Ugh. It would look like an Eskimo pie. One of those Dove bars. Chris Shiflett of Foo Fighters is 40 years old today. Gordon, what? George Clooney, where'd I get Gordon from? He's 50 years old. Tom Bergeron is 56. And don't forget, everybody, tomorrow is Free Comic Book Day.
Yes.
So support your local comic book store. Go by and get a free comic book. I suggest Golden Apple on Melrose. That's the best comic book store in the world.
Also, the best sex position.
The Golden Apple?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a sex position, no. Go by and get your free comic books. It's The Misadventures of Adam West is one of the free comic books they're giving away. I couldn't be more excited.
Open up a blog.
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat. One, two,
take it! Yeah, we're starting the day with a little date rape. That's what we're doing here on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ at 8:09. Now, Ralph, I don't know that we need you here when we've got Chris Hemsworth on the phone. He spends his whole life trying to stay away from geeks like you.
I bet not. I bet he's happy to meet the comic book geeks of the world.
I'm going to treat him seriously like the fine actor that he is. I don't want you to be an all geeky on him, all right? But we will bring him on the phone. Chris Hemsworth, the star of Thor, opening everywhere today, the first in the Avengers movies. Setting it up. Can't wait. Chris, how are you, man? Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm very well, thank you.
There we go.
There he is. There's Chris. Chris, I joke about our friend Ralph because he is a certified lifelong comic book geek, but I imagine you have encountered quite a bit of that in the last few weeks as you've been doing publicity for this movie, right?
Hey, it's good. I started shooting about a year ago and was cast a year and a half ago, and there's certainly a resource of knowledge and a very dedicated fan base out there.
Chris, were you a comic book guy at all as a kid? Did you grow up reading comic books?
No, not really. I'd read sort of fantasy novels and certain films and what have you, but it was only once I came on the film, I had about 6 months to kind of read as many Thor comic books as I could and educate myself on that universe.
Yeah, it must be tough to take something that has decades of history behind it and try to strike that balance between, hey, a lot of people have never seen this character before, let's make it great for them, but you also do have to keep in mind the people who have been following it and have been fans of that character for so long. It's got to be a tough balance for the writers and director to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And, on one hand, it's sort of a bonus because you do have, resource of information for 50 or 60 years. But also, there's more challenges, as you say, because you have to hit the character on the right notes and please that audience, but you want to open it up as well. And thankfully, that wasn't really my concern. I have, the director and the writer take care of that, and I come in and do my bit. But they certainly did a wonderful job.
Speaking of the director, Chris, I got a chance to see the film on Monday night, and I think I loved the film. And one of its strengths, I think, is that the script is great, but the stuff in Asgard especially plays so well, and I think having a director like Kenneth Branagh must have really helped those performances and sculpt that world.
Sure. Yeah, there's a big sort of old English Shakespearean feel to the stuff in Asgard, and that's certainly Kenneth Branagh, you know, the Shakespearean background is not many people know it better. And so, you know, it was, he made it all about the kings and queens and that royal family and that relationship. And, I couldn't think anyone better to have on board to tackle that.
And having Anthony Hopkins play Odin, the all-father of Asgard, couldn't have hurt either.
I think in our opinion, he is kind of, you know, quite worthy of, you know, king of the nine realms.
Yes, indeed.
I always find it so interesting, and I can't get my head around what it must be like for a guy like you who's been acting for some time. You've done a lot of television back home, and you've been in some movies, of course, you know, high profile with the Star Trek film. But, I mean, this is a whole nother level. When you show up for work and you're working in a scene opposite Anthony Hopkins and Kenneth Branagh is your director, you have to pinch yourself and go, this is what I've been dreaming about, right? I mean, this has to be a dream come true for a young actor.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, quite often I do that right through the shoot, and even now. You know, but I walking into that, I thought was going to be the most intimidating experience. And I've got to say, you know, they're just, he's so good, those guys. They elevate your performance. And there's no ego with them. They're, you know, wonderful to work with. And it ended up being the best experience I could have had on set.
Tell me, without spoiling anything, because I haven't seen the movie yet, and most of our listeners have not, tell me how they handle the hammer. The hammer seems like the type of thing that works fine on a comic book page, but would be difficult to work into a realistic movie without it kind of appearing goofy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fairly unorthodox weapon in a lot of ways, but it kind of became a bit of an extension of your body, and there was a real kind of boxing technique or influence that we put in there, and at the end of the day, it was kind of to take this big, heavy object and, you know, think about how would you maim someone with it? What's the most effective way of causing some kind of destruction and, you know, making it look powerful?
When someone gets hit square in the face with the hammer, it really is a very satisfying moment during a fight scene, I'll tell you.
Absolutely.
Chris, I couldn't help but think, and Monday night I was lucky enough to go to the premiere, and I saw you come in and walk the red carpet, and the fans went crazy. Personally, for you, what's it like now to be on the verge of this new level of a career where you're going to be one of the biggest movie stars in the world? Is it scary? Is it exciting? How are you feeling?
It's a bit of a mix, you know. It's certainly an element of you know, anxiety with it all. But, you know, it's also what I've wanted to do and work here for years and now sort of being able to do that and continue working and continue doing what I love is, you know, it becomes the focus and whatever comes with it, you know, you hope you're prepared for. But, you know, I'm just having a great amount of fun with it at the moment.
Do you live in America now, Chris?
I do, yeah. I've been here about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, see, I would think just for the paparazzi alone, I'd go back home to Australia because I imagine it would be a lot more. I mean, you see, you know, your countrymen, guys like Hugh Jackman, who say, hey, I love being down in Australia because it's so much more peaceful for me here because you don't have that all the time constant camera pressure. I imagine that's the type of thing. That's part of the equation you probably don't look forward to.
Not really. I mean, you know, I've had a little bit of it at the moment, and you know, it's been, I guess, positive. But, you know, I spent enough time sort of in and out of the city as well, and you know, you try and make an effort just to sort of go about your business and keep things sort of normal. But as I said, work takes me to, you know, many different cities anyway.
Of course, yeah. Well, Ralph, I know this is a movie that you've been looking forward to your whole life, and you seem like you were very satisfied with where Thor took you.
It's one of the best comic book movies I've ever seen. It really does. It strikes a balance of the script and the acting, and then also you have the special effects and the action. But sometimes movies can lean too heavily on that stuff and miss out on the human element, and I think you guys really captured that well, Chris.
That's great. The movie opens up everywhere today. It is called Thor. Chris, you're going to be way too big a star to ever come on our show again, but I just want you to know we appreciate these minutes we've had with you today. Good luck to you, sir.
Thank you, man. I'll be back.
All right. We'll hold you to that. Bye-bye.
Speaking of albums, who loves Katy Perry?
Me. Everyone.
Not the way I love Katy Perry, though. Daddy. Katy is on the cover of the new Vanity Fair magazine. It's one of the best pictures ever taken of her, and she gives a far-reaching interview. And she's talked a lot about her strict childhood. I mean, especially when she came out with what was the right before I Kissed a Girl? What was that first song? Something about To Be Gay, Glad You're Gay, To Be Gay.
Oh, You're So Gay.
You're So Gay. Yeah. So when You're So Gay came out and then followed right back-to-back with I Kissed a Girl, you know, much was made of the fact that she had a preacher for her father and had a strict religious upbringing. But I had no idea until this Vanity Fair article how strict it was. And it made me think, I'm sure there are lots of people, millions of people who grew up, whatever the religion is, whether you grew up Muslim or grew up Catholic or whatever, there are very, very strict religious households where they do everything they can to keep secularism out of it. For instance, you know, they restrict what you watch on television. Katy Perry says she wasn't allowed to listen to any secular music. Now, what must that be like if you're, you know, you're going to high school, you're 16, 17 years old, and all your friends are into whatever is hot, whatever is pop, and you're not allowed to listen to it. That must be so, you must feel so Amish and so completely out of step with your peers in that case.
That is footloose, man.
Because music, I mean, music is a perfect example of something. That's something that, that all people of a certain age have in common. That's a bonding thing. So she wasn't allowed to listen to any secular music, although she does admit that she did rely on friends to sneak her CDs. She, and this is what Ralph mentioned in the Showbiz report a couple of days ago that just blew my mind. They weren't allowed to say deviled eggs in her household.
What?
Wow.
And weren't allowed to use a dirt devil vacuum cleaner. because it had the word devil in it.
So they weren't even, they probably weren't allowed to say that word.
Yes, you're not allowed to say the word devil.
You're summoning the devil if you say it.
And I don't understand that. I mean, one of the things that that Katy Perry goes on to say is that the one of the problems she had, and maybe the reason she's rebelled partly in, you know, the way she has, is that she's a very curious person and she's a why person. She likes to ask why things are the way they are. And she said, you know, that's not how it was done with my parents and their religion. It was all about faith. You're just supposed to have faith. I was always asking why. So she says that's why now she experiments with a lot of different things. And she's, you know, dabbled in, you know, Hinduism a little bit, which her husband, Russell Brand, is into, and a little bit of this over there and a little bit of that over there to find out what works for her, rather than just have it handed to me and accept it and say, this is exactly how it's going to be. And I'm not allowed to question. I just do it.
Yeah.
Now, you said you were you grew up Catholic, Lisa. Do you remember anything strict, any kind of you're not allowed to do this or see this or anything like that?
No.
They were pretty open with that?
Yeah, we went to church, but, you know, my mom was a nurse, and so she was very matter-of-fact about a lot of stuff. Like, we learned about sex when we were probably 8 years old. She was, like, we had diaphragms.
That's why diaphragms or diaphragms?
That, too.
Both. Actually, yeah, because we were safe as well. But yeah, it was a very open household. It wasn't at all like a super strict Catholic household.
Now, I don't necessarily think it's bad, by the way, that people do this. And I think it is with the best of intentions that people try to protect their kids, particularly from bad secular things. I understand why it happens. I just can't imagine what it would be like to be that kid and then get to a point where you're old enough to go out in the world. I wonder how many of those kinds of kids stick with that lifestyle, or do they just bust out and go crazy and start kissing girls like Katy Perry did just because, hey, I'm free, I'm free. You know what I mean?
You know, don't the Amish do a thing, what's that called, where you get a year?
Yes, the Rumspringa,
yes,
right?
Yes, where you get a year to just go out and see what the world's like and make a decision. Do you want to have their world, or do you want to...
Right.
Enter the mainstream.
That's fair.
Yeah. You know. And a lot of people do go back.
Well, I am really curious, and I know we have a lot of listeners who are either still religious or are formerly from religious households. I'd love to know the types of things you weren't allowed to see or do or say as you're growing up. Yeah. I'm really, really interested in that. I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Sometimes it's religion. I was talking to a guy, a friend of mine yesterday, who was never allowed to watch The Simpsons growing up because his parents thought that the parents were treated badly on the show. They thought it was a terrible influence the way Bart treated Homer and Marge, so they wouldn't let him see The Simpsons. I mean, that's one form of strictness. And another form of strictness is, hey, you can't listen to any secular music. You can only listen to religious music. But I'd love to hear about the strictness in your religious household. If you want to give us a call right now on the Kevin and Bean Show, it's 1-800-520-1067. Can you beat what Katy Perry had to endure? We'll talk to you coming up right after this on the Kevin. Hope Miley Cyrus is listening. He'll give her something new to cover in her next concert. That is Nirvana on the world famous K-Rock. It is 106.7 KRQ at 8:38. Hey, thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Rob's got the Showbiz Beat coming up. And next hour, we'll talk to Mark Cuban about not only the Lakers-Mavericks series, because he's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, don't you know? But we'll also talk to him about potentially him buying the Los Angeles Dodgers. See if we can pin him down on that question. That's coming up. Right now, though, talking about Katy Perry, talking about her very strict religious upbringing. What's that like? Gail writes in, I once managed a Little League team. Our team name was the Devil Rays. I had parents who changed teams, pulled their kids off our team, put them on another team because our team was called the Devil Rays. And by the way, that reminds me that the actual Tampa Bay Devil Rays changed their name a couple of years ago. They got rid of the devil and just changed it to Rays. And I wonder if it was because of the same sorts of complaints from people who thought that was offensive.
Wow, that is
to
amazing.
To have the word devil. Yeah. I mean, it's named after an animal of the sea, right? There is a devil ray. I mean, that's where it came from. It has nothing to do with, you know, God and the devil and Satan and all that. So, all right, let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Wow, where do we start? We got some good ones. Let's try Rachel to get us going on line one. Hey, Rachel, thanks a lot for calling the Kevin DeBean Show. I'm glad you're allowed to use the phone at least.
Hey, guys, how are you today?
Good.
What happened?
So when I was a kid, my mom took away our Christmas tree because at her church it was seen as, like, idol worship by, like, decorating it and singing songs to it. So that sucked.
Oh, wow.
Now,
man.
I mean, I would think a Christmas tree, I mean, for many people, it's just a holiday decoration. But for some people, they put up the Christmas tree because that's part of remembering Jesus' birthday. That's not how mom looked at it, though, huh?
Yeah, in that crazy religion, they thought Jesus was born in, like, October or something. So they were seeing Christmas as, like, a secular holiday for King Nebuchadnezzar, like, idol worship kind of stuff. So that was pretty awful. So first thing I did when I moved out was I bought myself a big old Christmas tree and decorated it up.
were you only allowed, I mean, there are tons of religious Christmas songs that are famous. You know, your Silent Nights and your O Come All Ye Faithfuls and stuff like that. Were you allowed to sing those but not the Frosty the Snowmans and the Rudolphs?
Yeah, exactly. The ones that worship Jesus were okay, but, like, you know, just the little, you know, Frosty the Snowman and Jingle Bells, those were seen as satanic, so I really don't get
music.
That.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Rachel, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try Trish. Trish, a former or maybe even current Jehovah's Witness. Hi, Trish. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, good morning. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
What's the deal?
Former Jehovah's Witness, and my mom used to fast forward any time that Ursula came out on Little Mermaid.
Because she was too sexy?
Yeah, it's the tentacles. No, because of the sorcery, she does the crystal ball thing and whatever.
Wow, how about that? Yeah. And yeah, you say former Jehovah's Witness. Was it just too strict for you? Did you get out of it? Are you in some other religion now?
I'm not in another religion. I just kind of got out of it, so.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
All
right, thank you very much.
I watched Little Mermaid.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Appreciate the call. Thanks so much. Let's try Olivia. Olivia was raised Catholic, and she has an interesting story from her childhood. Hi, Olivia. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi.
Well, I had 12 years of Catholic school, and I wasn't able to...
Is that with uniform?
Yes, with uniform.
Go on.
Well, I wasn't able to watch the sad parts to any Disney or, like, young, like, teenage movies. My mom would basically censor them from us.
Really?
Let's see. Like, the Little Mermaid one was obviously the biggest one. Mm-hmm. When Old Yeller was shot... we got that.
Hey, how about a spoiler alert before you start talking like that? You understand?
You know what? I support that. That was terrible.
any movie that was sad, you weren't allowed to watch. Yeah, did that have something to do with religion, or was that just that they thought you were emotionally fragile?
Apparently, right? We had a really strict Bible group in Catholic school. So it was, according to them, whenever children felt sad, they would rebel. And this was a way to keep them from rebelling.
How about that?
Yeah, and she would make clothes for my Barbies.
Oh, my gosh.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Here's one from one of the Kevin and Bean Facebook fans, by the way, and you can always find us and follow along the show on Facebook/Kevin and Bean. When I was a teenager, this is from a girl, Jennifer. When I was a teenager, listen to this, Lisa.
Okay.
My mom would not let me wear the color pink because she said it made men think about girly private parts.
Oh, man.
I'm thinking about girl private parts right now, but it's not, I mean, is that unbelievable? So the color pink is out?
Crazy.
How about Gabriel? Good Bible name on line two. Gabriel, strict religious upbringing, like Katy Perry. What happened?
Well, on a regular basis, my dad would go through my albums, and if he found something he didn't like, for instance, NXS Kick, because of the song Devil Inside, he'd just literally rip it up in front of me.
What did he think? I mean, honestly, what did he think was going to happen if you listened to a song that had that, not a song about Satan worship, but a song that has devil in the lyrics? What did he think you were going to do?
Well, I guess the big thing for him was that it was just leading me down the wrong path, you know. So Appetite for Destruction had a cross on it with all the skulls, you know. That immediately got destroyed. Even like Michael Jackson Thriller, he was one of those people that would not let you listen to Michael Jackson because of the video for Thriller. You know, it got you thinking of bad things.
Because it had zombies in it, and that's not biblically correct.
Exactly.
Wow. Great call, man. Appreciate it. Thanks so much. Here's another Michael Jackson mentioned, by the way, an email from Brad, frequent Kevin and Bean contributor from Minnesota. My parents weren't terrible, but my aunt and uncle were. My cousins said they were going to hell because they liked Michael Jackson, like what kid didn't in the 80s. Later, I was asked to leave their house because I used the word evolving. That really made my choice of becoming an atheist easier. Thank you, Brad, for that. Appreciate that. Let's try Alicia, line 4. Alicia, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Because Katy Perry, we didn't have deviled eggs in our house either, but my mom was creative. They were called angel eggs, and I didn't actually know they were deviled eggs until I was an adult, actually.
And did you ever ask your mom what she thought was going to happen if you called them by their popular name, which was deviled eggs?
Well, no, because I didn't know that was the popular name.
But, I mean, once you did, once you finally found out, did you ever bring it up to her?
No, because I mean I wasn't allowed to listen to secular music when we were at she kind of let us celebrate Halloween, but not really. I was one year. Me and my aunt were a ghost, but we were the Holy Ghost, so it went along with everything.
Oh my God!
Did you just rebel like crazy?
I had some wild college years. Yes, yeah. I probably was kind of like Katy Perry.
That's funny. Kissed a lot of girls, I hope. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try one more call. This is going to be our man, Jesse. Jesse is on line 7. Hi, Jesse. Thanks for hanging on. What's your story?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hi, Mr. Man.
Hi.
Well, anyways, I wasn't allowed to listen to the radio. I wasn't allowed to even go to a Paramore concert because my parents didn't think they were Christian bands.
Oh, man.
So you could only see religious music. You couldn't go see any secular music.
Yeah, like if I found a band, I had to go find information proving they were Christian.
So how many times did you have to go see Jars of Clay?
No, I refused to go. I didn't even go.
Really?
Just wouldn't do it, yeah.
Plus, I mean, you know, you go see Haley, you start getting tingly. I mean, I can understand the Paramore thing. That would lead you down the wrong path,
and then
path,
she
right?
might be wearing pink.
Yeah, actually,
and then she might be wearing pink.
That's how I saw them. I saw them before they even got big, and then that's when I started liking them. And then I bought tickets to the wheelchair, and my dad took my keys, and I wasn't able to go to the show.
Unbelievable.
Oh, man.
Wow. All right, dude. Thanks very much for the call. Ed writes in, when I was growing up, we could not watch Bewitched or The Twilight Zone on TV because of the supernatural elements. Also, and listen to this, we weren't allowed to see Star Wars. As my mom said, hey, it's Star Wars. We don't want you to have any part of that.
Come on.
What? Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up on the... Hey, Ralph, you'll love this. We're talking about the strict religious households, thanks to the story you brought us about Katy Perry.
Yes.
I couldn't watch Three's Company as a kid because Jack Tripper's character said he was gay so that he could share an apartment with two women. Believe it or not, that was considered controversial back then. My mom would not let me watch the show. I guess watching a character who was pretending to be gay might make me gay, says John.
Well, it's a double-edged sword. Either he's gay or he's straight and living with two women. So,
right,
either way
he's it's no
living
good.
In a cesspool of immorality.
Unbelievable, the emails and phone calls we're getting on this topic. Thank you very much for that. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Ralph is here with another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
My parents wouldn't let me watch Three's Company.
Really?
Because they thought I would pick up habits of bad slapstick and inane scenarios.
and did you?
Which that was a real sin in my house if you bought into bad slapstick. I did. I would watch it secretly, and then next thing you know, I'm falling over the couch. It happened all the time. Go down to the Regal Beagle and get a drink.
Sure.
Before I get into showbiz news, I want to give you a heads up. Tomorrow night, Saturday night, 10 p.m. at the John Lovitz Comedy Club on Universal City Walk in Universal City, California. We're up there by Universal Studios. The return of the great one, Kevin Smith, returns to Hollywood Babylon tomorrow night. And I am happy to have my partner back, and it'll be a hilarious evening of scatological humor. So I hope you'll stop by and see.
Did you miss your boyfriend while he was gone?
It's hard. I've had a bunch of guest stars recently. Bill Burr came in and co-hosted with me. John Lovitz came in and co-hosted with me, and that's fun. But it's better, I think, when I've got
right.
Got
so
my boy.
G, right?
Yeah. So come see us. You can go to Babble on Kev
or babbleonralph.com for more details, and you can buy tickets there and stuff. But love to have you come out.
Hey, Ralph.
Yes,
Beer Mug. Is Kevin Smith going to be on the long haul, like the next couple weeks with you?
Yeah, he's going to be around for a while. Okay. He's off the road.
I might need some tickets, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, sure.
No,
just go to babbleonralph.com. That's all you do, Mug. It's not that hard.
I might need some tickets, if you know what I'm saying.
I might need some tickets. You know. Yeah. Under the table, you know.
I don't understand.
You can have some adult beverages.
Yes. You're so oblique. All right. Babies. Showbiz babies have bad names. This much we know. Bryan Adams, Canadian singer-songwriter Bryan Adams, is a first-time dad at the age of 51.
Well, that's unusual.
His personal assistant, Alicia Grimaldi, is giving him a daughter. Oh, she is full service. The daughter's name is Mirabella Bunny. Mirabella Bunny Adams. Hmm. She was born on Good Friday. Brian says she arrived like all good Easter bunnies on Good Friday. Look. She wasn't even born on Easter. And yet you're going to saddle her with Bunny for the rest of her life?
At least it's a middle name.
But Lisa, that does help. But it's worse almost as a middle name. Because you know what? Because that's a bad surprise. You're dating Mirabella, or Mira, as you're calling her, for a couple of weeks. Or Bella. And you're hanging out and you're having a good time. And then one night, post-coital, she's like, oh yeah, my middle name's Bunny. And then you're like, oh, now what do I do? I don't know if I can keep saying Bunny.
A lot of parents like to hide that. They have a creative idea. And they decide, for the sake of the kid, let's put it in the middle name. Let's hide it there in the middle name where we know it's there. And we get the satisfaction of the name, but they're not saddled with it.
Like, Bean's real name is Gene Hitler Baxter.
And I don't like to publicize that.
If they had put the Hitler in the front, then we would have known what we were getting into before we let him, be on the radio and then, lead our show and everything.
But I'm changing it to Bin Laden.
Oh, well, that's a
change by actual middle name. But, I wonder if that would be, do you think there'd be enough people out there that would be an interesting phone topic for us to do? With people call and find out what kind of crazy middle names they have that
absolutely.
Their parents...
Absolutely.
Hiding?
Because that is the place to bury the landmine.
I don't need to remind anyone of Penn Jillette's beautiful daughter, Moxie Crime Fighter, right?
Yes.
Moxie is the jab, and then Crime Fighter, that really is the straight right hand that's the knockout punch.
Exactly. So maybe we'll do that next week.
Although Crime Fighter's pretty cool.
Crime Fighter is my middle name. You know she's going to say that her whole life.
Yeah. Speaking of babies, Adrian Young from No Doubt. His wife, Nina, is expecting yet another baby. They've got a 9-year-old son named Mason, and they're going to have a little girl to round out the young family. So congratulations.
That sounds like a mistake. So,
wow, come on. Adrian's the
nine
best.
9 years? 9 years age difference? You know what I'm saying? That sounds like a slip-up.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying they weren't planning. They weren't planning that.
It's unusual to have them that far apart, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes mistakes are the good ones.
Sure.
And congratulations to our buddy Jay Moore. He and his lovely wife, Nikki Cox, have a new baby boy in their lives as well. His name is Meredith Daniel Moore.
You mean her name?
No, Bean.
Meredith.
Meredith is a boy.
Are we sure that that's not the typo?
The name?
No, the
sex. Yeah.
Meredith Daniel Moore. Yeah.
Daniel's a weird name for a middle name for a girl, I'll tell you that.
And Meredith is a honked up name for a boy.
Must be a family thing.
That's what I'm thinking. There must be a grandfather or something who went as Meredith. I guess Meredith is one of those unisex names that can be used for either sex.
But I've never heard of it as a male name, though, ever.
All I know is Jay is going to have to sign his kid up for MMA classes right away. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we'll have him in soon and we can rake him over the coals for that.
I'm telling you, that baby could be the star of a show called Babies I Don't Care About.
And Kenneth Branagh, the director of smash hit Thor... I'm saying that preemptively. I'm not sure if it's smash it or not, but I'm guessing.
I think you're safe with that one.
They're guessing 70 mil this weekend for Thor.
They're already talking about a sequel in addition to the Avengers movie.
Oh, yeah. He, of course, legendary Shakespearean actor and director. But he was
Dead Again. Remember his movie Dead Again?
Dead Again. I love Dead Again.
Yeah. Oh, he's so good.
I thought he was great in a little-known British comedy called Peter's Friends.
Yes.
Which stars him and Hugh Laurie and... Stephen Fry, great cast, but it's a little Big Chill type comedy about this group of friends who get back together again after years and years, and it's great. So he's done plenty of work outside of Shakespeare, but it turns out he was just a regular kid like the rest of us. When he was a kid, he stole a case of beer. Here's my favorite part of the story: the 9-year-old Kenneth learned a lesson when his mom made him return it to the shop and apologized to the shop owner.
9-year-old Kenneth Brown stealing a case of beer.
I wouldn't have predicted that.
That's
would you?
My boy right there.
Oh, good for you, Kenneth. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Tom Bergeron, host of Dancing with the Stars, turns 56 years old today. Chris Shiflett of Foo Fighters is 40. Gabourey Sidibe is 28 years old today. I'm going to come at Precious like that.
Just saying.
Adrian Palicki, she's Wonder Woman, is 28 years old today. And George Clooney, he was Batman. He's 50 years old.
Clooney, you smug bastard. Stop playing basketball and get married like the rest of us.
That's for God's sake so true. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I'd prefer not to. Thank you for the offer, though. It's 106.7 K-Rock KROQ. On the world-famous K-Rock, it is 938. Ralph, you got one more in you for the week. Final look at the showbiz beat on a Friday Kevin and Bean show?
Give me a few minutes. I can pump out a couple of them.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Pippa Middleton. I know, yes. It sounds like a kind of apple, but it is actually the younger sister of Kate Middleton, Duchess of Cambridge.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what she is now?
That's what Kate is, yes.
Yeah. She is getting a lot of attention, this Pippa.
Yes, she is.
From the wedding. I did not see any of the wedding coverage. I avoided it.
You didn't see the dress she wore?
You didn't see that sweet ass? No.
She became an international celebrity based on that sweet
ass. Not with me. I don't care.
Really?
But she is getting a lot of attention, even from celebs. Apparently, Daniel Radcliffe has a crush. And he is trying to reach out to the royal family to create a little love connection.
Oh.
How about that?
I know that the British people wanted to marry Harry. They wanted to marry the prince's brother because that would be so cool to have sisters married to brothers.
Hold on. Muggs is pulling up photos of Pippa Middleton here. What is all the deal about? What is the big deal?
She's very pretty. You got to understand, people saw her on her very best day ever when
right.
she had the greatest hair and makeup and outfit people in the world
yeah.
working on her.
Uh-huh.
And she was the maid of honor for her sister.
Yeah.
And people just fell in love with her.
Yeah.
I think Lily Allen's hotter.
You got to see her from behind to really appreciate her, though, Ralph.
Well, that's the best way to see any woman. If you're going to form a bobsled team with her. But other than that, you might want to see her from the front. And to me, she looked like Natalie Portman. Got beaten down with a crowbar and then had reconstructive surgery.
Pippa
and this is the best they could
pretty.
Come back with. This is the
Pippa
best.
Is,
all the King's horses and all the King's men tried to put Natalie Portman back together again, and this is what they came up with.
Look, she's not the princess, don't get me wrong. She's not as hot as Kate, but she's very, very pretty in her own right.
I'm just saying easy. That's what
and
I'm
you bring
saying.
Her up because Harry Potter wants to date her.
Daniel Radcliffe has a crush.
Yeah,
he wants to date her.
Going on. Psycho Mike texted me this week out of the blue saying he's got to figure out a way to break himself off some Pippa. I think the celebrity is going to his head.
I don't get it. I don't see it. I just don't. Give me a real woman. Give me a Shirley MacLaine.
That's what I'm talking about.
Shirley MacLaine, a legendary movie star at the tender age of 77, has written yet another autobiography. This one, she says, even at her age, she still loves to get freaky, in her words. Kind of keep down my breakfast. She says she has to look for younger men in the sack because men her own age can't keep up with her appetite sexually. Oh, listen, Grandma, we don't really need to hear about this. I don't care how many lives you've led. In this one, you're 77.
Men her own age are all dead, too.
Oh, come on. Why you gotta be like that? Seth Rogen's having a bit of a problem. Us Weekly Magazine talked to him recently, and he said, you know what? He's got to go out and buy new clothes again. He's outgrowing all the skinny clothes he bought last year when he lost all that weight to play the Green Hornet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's putting it back on?
Yeah. Listen, without motivation, it's hard for a guy like Seth, I think, to work out all the time and try to stay in shape. He did his action film. He's probably like, well, you know what? When I was bigger, I could do all kinds of comedies and stuff. It's not exactly holding me back, so why not have an extra burger or an extra bowl or bong?
I don't know if this makes any sense or not, but there are some people who I think look better a little heavier, and Seth Rogen is one of them. I don't like him being creepy thin.
Well, he never got creepy thin.
Yeah, he was pretty darn thin.
He wasn't Kelly Ripa thin.
No, no.
You know?
I mean, I think he looks fine with a little extra weight. I support him. I support anyone who'll get fat.
Yeah,
like
sure
me.
You do. Katie Couric, now that she's leaving CBS News, apparently is moving over to ABC. TMZ.com says she is...
close to signing a $20 million deal with ABC.
Dude.
Her duties would involve a daily one-hour syndicated talk show beginning in September of 2012, plus news reports for 2020 and maybe even some fill-in anchoring from time to time on the ABC.
Punk-ass bitch.
Oh, come on. She was talking to CBS about the same deal, but apparently they balked at giving her a significant role in the news division.
That's why
negotiations broke down. But now they're saying they may cancel General Hospital just to make room for her daily talk show.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that will not stand with the people.
That is not going to make her very popular with people who are at home watching daytime television, I'll tell you that.
That is true. And the list of the cast for this Will Stooges movie.
Three Stooges?
I'm sorry, Three Stooges movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just gets worse.
Really? It's not the A-plus major motion
picture?
They teased this
for years. Sean Penn and Benicio Del Toro and Jim Carrey as the Three Stooges. Now we've got Will Sasso, Chris Diamantopoulos, and Sean Hayes.
Well, that's a little bit of a drop off.
Cher's going to be the Mother Superior of the wacky orphanage they grew up in. Jane Lynch stepped into that role. One of the nuns at the orphanage, Larry David, it has been announced, will play a nun.
Okay.
Really?
And now the villain of the piece, Stephen Collins, will play the villain of the Three Stooges.
From TV's what in the 80s? Dynasty?
Yeah. He was on One Tree Hill, right? Wasn't he the dad? No, Seventh Heaven. Seventh Heaven, he was the dad on that.
Yeah.
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah. Wow.
So
this is a little bit low rent. Sound like a TV movie.
What 99-cent bargain bin can I find this movie in when it comes out? That's what I want to know. What DVD release can I pick up? I don't know why people just don't come to me. Just come
to
me.
You have all the answers.
I have all the answers. Come to me with your movie problems and I'll fix them for you. Babies in the news. Bryan Adams had his first child at the age of 51 years old this week. His personal assistant, Alicia Grimaldi, gave birth to a daughter on April the 22nd. Her name is Mirabella Bunny Adams. Middle name, Bunny.
Okay.
She was born on Good Friday, and Brian said that inspired them to name her after the Easter Bunny. Good thing she wasn't named around Halloween.
Nope.
She would have been Trick or Treat Adams.
Yeah, it's no good.
Pumpkin? No. Candy corn?
No.
No?
You're begging your daughter to grow up and be a stripper if you give her the name Bunny.
Bunny Adams making her way to the stage, everybody. Bunny Adams. Get your singles out, fellas. She doesn't do it just for applause. Take a look today's celebrity birthdays. Adrienne Palicki.
That's what I'm talking about.
She, of course, Wonder Woman in the upcoming Wonder Woman TV series.
More importantly,
she was one of the cheerleaders on Everybody Loves Fridays.
Friday Night Lights. Come on. Friday. She's so good on that.
On right now.
Friday.
It is. It's a current show on NBC on Friday nights.
Friday, getting down on Friday.
No, it has nothing to do with the Rebecca Black song. Friday Night Lights. Ralph, you pride yourself in watching quality television.
I do.
That's why
I avoided Friday Night Lights.
Critics agree it's one of the greatest shows that has ever been on television.
It just won't now.
Audiences don't agree.
But you know that it doesn't mean it's bad because people aren't watching. But you know that there's a lot of quality stuff. And it was their loss because it was one of the best television shows that ever aired.
But it's been on 9 networks now, 14 different time zones, in 3 different languages. It's just too much work to decipher all that.
It doesn't make it bad.
You gotta take it home. You have to boil it, I think. You have to distill it down into its essence. And then, what do you add? Some sort of mix or something?
Okay, let me ask you this question.
Pop it in the oven at 350 for 2 hours.
If you read today that Fringe was going to air on the Style Network for the rest of the season,
Fringe, I love Fringe.
Would you go to the Style Network and watch it?
I'd buy the Style Network.
Okay, you'd follow the show because it's that good. It's the same thing with Friday Night Lights. It's every bit as good as Fringe, but you missed out on it and refused to accept it.
All right, so it wasn't about high school football in Texas, though, right?
That was the backdrop of it, but it was more about the people who lived in that town and the relationship with the Taylor family.
I don't like Texas.
Or people named Taylor.
Oh, especially people named Taylor.
Okay.
Gabrielle Sidibe. You got to get a better name, girl. That name's been vexing me since you made that movie Precious.
Yeah, it is. It doesn't roll off the tongue, does it?
Gabrielle Sidibe. She is 28 years old today.
Precious. That bitch.
Oh, come on. Chris Shiflett of Foo Fighters is 40 years old today. George Clooney celebrates his 50th birthday.
Where are you guys going tonight?
I don't know. Probably just over to Clooney, shoot some hoops, and then I'm going to bathe the 50 broads he's going to bang in rapid succession to celebrate his birthday. I get to cover them in unguents.
Tom, that is, but I hope it's not coming out of you.
Tom Bergeron is 56. He's the host of Dancing with the Stars. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you very much, Ralph. How about an all-new Kevin and Bean show on Monday?
I'd rather not, if you don't mind.
Is anyone at all up for that? Our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com is going to be here. Actor Paul Bettany joins us talking about his new film called Priest. We got the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, Ralph. I know you're looking forward to that.
Nope.
Andrew Siciliano will be in to update us on how the sports weekend went, particularly the Lakers-Mavs series and a bunch of other good stuff that we have. Right now, though, let's play.
Yeah, sure.
How about a pair of underwear that says, speaking to the mic?
Delicious.
Let's pass it around.
Thanks for nothing, ass face.
I'm busy now, you can't be hounding a pair.
I'm just rousing on down.
Well, this has been absolutely fun. None of it is usable. We edit tremendously, and I can't see it working.
This is not the way that we wanted this conversation to go, so I want to ask you to leave. Step out, please. We're done. We're finished. We're finished. Do I need to have somebody come physically remove you? Stand up and leave, please. Thank you.
USA! USA! All right. You're welcome to all the military. Everyone who protects you while you sleep.
I'm in love with seahorses. I'm in love with them. They're so beautiful and cute. I'm in love with the seahorses. They're fucking unreal. I love them. I love them. Seahorses. Forever.
Oh, well, class dismissed.